3rd and Marshall today. Six people were in the home when the fire started. All of them got out, with only two suffering minor injuries. Although the fire was contained quickly, it did cause major damage to the single-family home. No word yet on what started the fire or where it originated. Crews are still on the scene putting out what's left of that fire. Starting this fall, you won't find Avs or Nuggets game on Fox Sports Rocky Mountain. That's because the rights for those cable casts and other teams owned by Kroenke Sports Enterprises will be carried by a regional sports network owned by Kroenke. The new network's president, Jim Martin, says his people will try to work things out so that your TV access to the Avs and Nuggets will remain the same.
Distribution requires reaching agreements with both cable operators and satellite providers. We believe that we can offer them a more than competitive package, particularly in pricing.
The network will carry other local teams plus various non-sports activities. Two pit bulls attacked a woman who was out walking her dogs yesterday morning in Highlands Ranch. The woman's dogs were also attacked, and it's believed the pit bulls also killed two other dogs about a mile and a half away. Deputies responding to the scene saw the woman being attacked, and as they approached, they were attacked by the dogs as well. The officers fired at the dogs and killed them. The woman had minor injuries to her calf and nose and was treated at a hospital. Ownership of those pit bulls is still being determined. CDOT is trying to ease traffic around Invesco Field, so they've begun a construction project that will run through March of 2005.
During the project, 19th Avenue will remain closed. Other than that, we're going to have pretty minor impacts to traffic, but the key thing is to remember that 19th Avenue off-ramp will remain closed permanently.
CDOT spokeswoman Mindy Crane asks motorists in that construction zone to be careful driving through the area.
The key thing is for motorists to remember that we do have a construction project going on in the area, so it will help us greatly if you can slow down through the area and kind of watch for the changes throughout the project.
Crane says a retaining wall is being put up along southbound I-25 between 17th and 23rd Avenues. That wall will slightly widen the highway, creating a lane for traffic merging to and from the highway. Sentencing is set for this afternoon in the case of Joseph Dowler, who was convicted in November on 8 counts of felony child abuse in the death of his 2-year-old son, Tanner. The infant died in October 2002 after suffering several broken bones, burns, and a brain injury. The baby's mother, Audra Dowler, who was convicted of negligence in the baby's death, is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence. Joseph Dowler could get up to 100 years in prison at his sentencing this afternoon. A Fort Carson soldier who died in October last year has been identified by the Pentagon. 24-year-old Tamara Ramos of Quakertown, Pennsylvania, was one of four unidentified soldiers who died last year. She died October 1st from what are being called non-combat related injuries. This brings the total number of Fort Carson soldiers who've died to 53. Those soldiers have died in Iraq since the fighting began last year. The latest Zogby poll of voters in Virginia and Tennessee shows Massachusetts Senator John Kerry with a solid lead over his closest challenger, North Carolina Senator John Edwards. Pollster John Zogby says Kerry is forging ahead in both southern states.
Some of the other polls had, Kerry leading by, 11 to 17 points. I have him up by over 20 points in both states.
Zogby notes that 1 month ago today, his poll of voters in Iowa showed Kerry behind both Vermont Governor Howard Dean and Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt. Zogby says Kerry's turnaround is remarkable. Kerry won three state caucuses over the weekend. The judge in the Scott Peterson double murder trial will hear some controversial issues today, including requests to sequester the jury and move the trial out of Northern California. A pre-trial hearing is underway in Redwood City. Peterson accused of murdering his wife Lacey and their unborn son. The Department of Agriculture has announced the end of its probe into America's first case of mad cow disease. The agency identified 255 animals linked to the single cow that tested positive for the disease in December. All of those animals were killed and tested negative for mad cow. Stocks were higher heading into the last 2 hours of today's trading session. Dow up 18 points, the NASDAQ up nearly 9, the S&P 500 up about a point and a quarter. In sports, the Denver Nuggets back in action at the Pepsi Center tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. Nuggets lost to the Grizzlies in January. Denver has the third worst traffic in the country. Fortunately, you have the number one transit agency. Relieve yourself of unpleasant congestion. Take RTD instead. Go to rtd-denver.com for more information. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Blue Moon Floral is Denver's best bet for great deals on flowers for Valentine's Day. Their Valentine special features 2 dozen loose wrapped roses, cash and carry, available for only $24.99. Blue Moon also has a wide variety of plants, gifts, chocolates, stuffed animals, balloons, and more, in addition to a great selection of beautiful fresh flowers. Blue Moon Floral also offers delivery services for Metro Denver and the surrounding suburbs. They're located at 300 East 6th Avenue at Grant Street, or call and place your order at 303-778-7220. That's 303-778-7220. Blue Moon Floral, arranging flowers, gifts, and even deliveries to make your Valentine's Day special.
NBC Tonight, the Fear Factor Million Dollar Couples Championship continues. And tonight, someone's gonna lose it.
Yes!
Don't freak out.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to.
Then, all through Las Vegas, Jean-Claude Van Damme plays himself and does the unthinkable. He dies. Then, all new Average Joe 2 Hawaii. Get ready for a different twist. Not another hunk, another woman.
Why is she hanging on my guys?
Fear Factor, Las Vegas, Average Joe. All new NBC Tonight.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Liberty Bell Telecom, and you have a couple accidents westbound I-70. Westbound I-70 to southbound I-25, 4 cars involved in an accident. Watch for emergency vehicles there. An injury accident westbound I-70 at the Eisenhower Tunnel. That'll cause delays for all you skiers trying to get up for a weekday ski day. Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service, Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates, keep your current numbers, libertybelltelecom.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun out there for today. Temperatures still quite a few degrees below average. 46 is our average today, 35 tonight. Partly cloudy, down to 12, and for tomorrow, lots of sun, just a few clouds, 37, and a colder one for Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow in 25. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 36 degrees, KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 12:35, or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And later in the broadcast, we're going to find out, this is sort of an interest of mine. Kenneth Wright is a local author, and he's going to be at Tattered Cover. And this is something he studied, the Anasazi, which are the ancient peoples who populated Mesa Verde and other places, and he knows how they engineered public works. Water for the Anasazi is his book, and I'm intrigued to know how they figure things out. How what does he know about them? How long ago they live? Because they seem just to have disappeared. We really don't know what happened to the Anasazi, but maybe Kenneth Wright does. We'll be talking to him later on. Did you watch the Grammys last night? There were a lot of things to have watched yesterday. Let's begin with the entertainment portion of it. Our friend Diane Reeves, who lives in Denver, she was a 2-time Grammy Award winner. She's now a 3-time Grammy Award winner. And she won last night. She for Best Jazz Vocal Album Award for A Little Moonlight in Los Angeles. So congratulations to Diane Reeves for winning her 3rd Grammy Award, and she did that last night. And then here is Janet Jackson, who was offered her a slot on the Grammy Awards last night if she would apologize yet again, and she refused to do it. Justin Timberlake did it, but she refused to do it. So my question is, do you think that hurt her career? I think she should have done it, because I think it would have been a 1-2 punch for her. She had just been on this halftime Super Bowl, and everybody would have wanted to see what she was going to do this time, what she looked like. I think it would have added a lot of interest. What do you think? She decided she'd had enough of apologizing. She wasn't going to do it at all. Is Hollywood too sleazy? Janet Jackson's unexpected exposure during the Super Bowl halftime has everyone asking the question. I'm surprised it's shocking that a boob might be seen somewhere outside National Geographic Explorer, or a boob would be seen somewhere outside the White House. The news has gotten too raunchy, says one person. Art has always pushed social norms, says another. I think it's just raunchy enough, said Weird Al Yankovic, winner for Best Comedy Album. They were asking a bunch of entertainers last night at the Grammy Awards, Has entertainment become too sleazy? Some say yes, some say no, some say it's just right. Would you like to weigh in on it? 303-382-1150. I mean, look at cable TV. Network TV is nothing compared to cable TV. And it turns out that FCC Commission Chairman Michael Powell considered holding a dramatic license revocation hearing against CBS after last week's Super Bowl breast mess, or the brahaha, or the exposed boob, or whatever you want to call it. This is extraordinary. What is really being said here is that the FCC was going to look into revoking CBS's broadcast license. That is major, major, major. Nobody else does it. And he believes that Mel Karmazin, he says there is a feeling that Mel Karmazin is reckless when it comes to self-policing his outlets. Look at Opie and Anthony. This was a radio show that got pulled because they were encouraging their listeners to have sex at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Remember that? They're still off the air. But that was a CBS Infinity station. So FCC believes that Mel Karmazin does whatever, he's reckless and does whatever it takes to get ratings, and he was actually seriously considering, for 5 minutes only, pulling CBS's license, but nothing came of it. And as I said, Janet rejected CBS's offer. She decided not to accept Janet Jackson, not to accept the CBS offer to appear on the Grammy Awards. The network said it would have allowed her to present a tribute to Luther Vandross if Jackson apologized for her appearance on Sunday's Super Bowl halftime show a week ago Sunday, Jackson, after much thought, decided she'd said she was sorry enough already and declined to be on the show. Patti LaBelle was scheduled to appear in her place. Bill Clinton won a Grammy last night. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton won a Grammy Award, but not for his famed saxophone playing. He was honored in the Spoken Word Album for Children category for a project he worked on with fellow winners, former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, and Italian screen siren Sophia Loren. None of them was at the ceremony to pick up the award. Clinton's wife, Hillary Clinton, was nominated in the Spoken Word Album category for the audiobook version of her best-selling memoirs, Living History, but she lost out to satirist Al Franken's Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right. So one Clinton won, and one did not. And under intense scrutiny following Janet Jackson's breast-bearing performance during last week's Super Bowl, MTV quietly plucked a number of its edgiest music videos out of its daytime rotation. Viacom-owned cable network, which produces Super Bowl halftime extravaganza, notified several major record companies last week that at least 8 of their videos would now be played only during overnight programming, generally between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. So MTV apparently getting the word that Michael Powell was actually thinking of pulling the CBS broadcast license are holding the raciest videos now. Instead of in a more daytime rotation, they're doing them in the night shifts. 303, or the night slots, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Did you watch, here's the important question coming up, did you watch Meet the Press yesterday or Meet the Depressed yesterday? Did you see George W. Bush on Meet the Depressed yesterday? What did you think? I forgot about it, and then I've got this dopey satellite service, and sometimes it doesn't, I couldn't get my remote to get the right channel for a while because it was acting up. But in any event, I finally got the last 10 or 15 minutes of Meet the Depressed with George W. Bush starring in his starring role with Tim Russert. What did you think? Because even conservative commentators and pundits don't think that George W. Dickey Bush did very well. The last few minutes that I saw, he looked to me petulant as usual, a little querulous, a little deer in the headlights, defensive, a little bit egotistical, and not in charge. And he kept referring to himself as a war president. Well, the only reason he is a war president is that he's taken us into war on the basis of terrible intelligence and even worse intelligence in the White House for looking at this intelligence and going to war on the basis of it, particularly when we refuse to engage in diplomatic solutions. No matter what George W. Dickey Bush has said, the last thing they wanted was any kind of diplomacy. They were hell-bent on going to war, and what they did not factor into it, because they're not too bright, what they did not factor into this equation is that the lies would unravel before the election. 303-382-1150. I now think that the tide is turning. Now, it can turn again. The worm can turn a lot of different ways. But right now, I would say Bush is very vulnerable. And particularly since the AWOL story is gaining some traction as well. He said in the interview with Russert that he would make his military records available if, here's the caveat, comma, if they still exist. Allegedly, they're in Colorado. We think they're in Denver. That's what he said. If they haven't been scoured, now I don't know what that means, whether it means they clean them up or whether it means they disappear them. He seems pretty confident that they're probably not there. This is why he wants to make them available to everybody. What do you think? Are they ever going to be found? What will they reveal? Senator Kerry has said just because you get an honorable discharge doesn't mean that you actually showed up and engaged in the terms of your service. 303-382-1150. So here is my question to you. Did you watch the interview yesterday with George Bush conducted by Tim Russert? And I have to say, what I heard of it was not softballs. It was tough. I mean, here he is in the Oval Office, so he doesn't have the home court advantage. He's in the president's home turf, and he's looking him straight into the eyeball, and he's asking him questions about the economy and about a lot of other things. And what do you do if you're not elected? And Bush says he's not going to lose. He didn't say he was going to be elected. He said he wasn't going to lose in the next election. Well, he was actually never elected in the previous election. So it didn't matter whether he won or whether he lost. But I have a lot of information to share. It turns out over the weekend that Britain, it comes out in the British papers and The Guardian. Turns out not only were we spying on UN allies in the run-up before the war to get them to, which is against all international law, to get them to vote our way, but also Britain helped America conduct a secret and potentially illegal spying operation at the United Nations in the run-up to the Iraq War. This is according to The Observer, which is an English newspaper. The operation, which targeted at least one permanent member of the UN Security Council, was almost certainly in breach of the Vienna Conventions on Diplomatic Relations, which strictly outlaw espionage at the UN missions in New York. Translators and analysts at the government's top secret surveillance center, GCHQ, which is in, this is England we're talking about, were ordered to cooperate with an American espionage surge on Security Council delegations after a request from the U.S. National Security Agency at the end of January 2003. This was designed to help smooth the way for a second U.N. resolution authorizing war in Iraq. They were going to go to war no matter what, whether they had good information or whether they didn't have good information. And the last thing they wanted was for diplomacy to solve the problem. 303-382-1150. Who saw the interview with George W. Dickey Bush and Timmy Russert yesterday on Meet the Depressed? Anybody who saw it, I want your take on it, because even Peggy Noonan, who is the suck-up of all suck-ups, believes that Bush didn't do very well in the interview. What did you think? Do you think that he did a good job? Particularly those of you who are Bush supporters, what did you think? Did he do a good job? Did he answer the questions? And is it possible that because he did so poorly, which is what's pretty much been acknowledged, although you may disagree with that, that he did so poorly on Meet the Press yesterday, that suddenly we have a story breaking that somehow they just found some Al-Qaeda letter that was that asked for help from Iraq? Don't you find the timing of this letter kind of interesting? So to get our minds off of the miserable, this is what the administration is going to do, and they're going to do it. They are going to do it big time come the next election. So suddenly we see a story released all over the place that Al-Qaeda was seeking Iraq's help in a sectarian war against the U.S. and so on. And it's just leaked today. Isn't that, as they say on the Pocket Fisherman ads, Ron Popeil and all those other, isn't that amazing? Isn't it really? You think it's to get our minds off of the poor job that George W. Bush did and the questions that really beg to be answered? 303-382-1150. Jason, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Jason.
I watched it yesterday. What? I also taped it for anybody who wants a copy.
I wish you'd send me one. I didn't see the whole thing.
It was horrible.
What did you think?
Well, I think that he avoided the questions. I think that he used the word madman probably 30 different times.
Well, how many times did he use the word war president? He's the war president.
He kept on trying to emphasize that. But the bottom line was the reason why he's a wartime president was because he ignored specific,
The reason wartime president is that he dragged us into an unnecessary war based on virtually no intelligence whatsoever, no credible intelligence.
Yeah, but you've got to put the blame of 911 squarely where it belongs, and that's on his shoulders, because he got specific briefings about Al-Qaeda using airplanes on August 4th, from Tenet, no less, which is why Tenet will always be the CIA chief, because he's got something on Bush like nobody's business.
How do you know that he got these briefings from Tenet, and how do you know what the briefings say?
Because I read the newspapers. I read the newspapers. And I read it all
during
that time. Yeah, I'm just very interested in politics, and I keep to. And basically, Tenet rarely briefs the president. It's always like the second in charge, whatever. But Tenet flew out on a CIA jet to give him that specific information.
He was
on vacation.
What was the date?
That would have been August 4th or August 6th, one of those two. I can't remember specific, but I know it was one of those two.
So he gets the information and he stays on vacation.
And he's big time.
You know, I'm going to tell you, look at the metaphors here. He has been AWOL not only apparently from the military, but he's been AWOL from his own brain cells and AWOL from the job. I mean, he had more vacation time before 9/11 than a huge amount of vacation time. He gets this briefing that should have caused him to sit up and pay attention, and he said, you know what, I'm on vacation. I'll deal with this when I get back, when the clock starts ticking again. But right now, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, he went out and chopped bushes. He said the heck with it. He didn't notify anybody, didn't put anybody on alert, and let 3,000 people die. That's my problem with him, and now he's trying to cover it up by the 9/11 Commission. That's what they want, is those briefings that he's hiding.
He won't testify, and they depose Condoleezza Rice without any kind of public hearing on Saturday, and not under oath. So everybody is stonewalling, and only under heaviest negotiations did she agree to talk, but only as long as it wasn't under oath. So why would she not want it under oath? It would be the question.
Yeah. Well, and then just one more thing, and I'll let you continue doing a great job.
Thank you.
But my whole impression of this interview yesterday is America be very afraid. You've got a third grader running the country, and one of the
did you say a third rater?
a third grader, and the Republicans need to seriously consider kicking up a primary.
They need to seriously consider what?
Kicking up a primary. They need somebody else.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. Pete calling from Fort Collins. The lines are full. One line is now open. 303-382-1150. Pete, hi. Welcome. You're live with Enid on AM 1150.
Hello, Enid. How are you?
Good. Did you watch the interview yesterday?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I look at it from a little different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, your previous caller is right. Bush did not show well at all. He is not a very articulate man. He's not a very assertive person in an interview. But I look at it from the perspective of Tim Russert, because he did not ask the tough questions. Now, yes, he asked several tough questions, Tim did, but the thing with Tim Russert is his ability for the follow-up. When he asks a question, he usually will go with a follow-up, and a follow-up until he gets the person he's interviewing to say what he wants him to say. Perfect example is with the Dean situation several months ago about his military record and so forth. I don't think that this guy, Russert, really gave a very good interview. I think he
In other words, you're saying you don't think that he held Bush's feet to the fire the way he usually does with intense questioning?
Exactly.
See, I'm not a regular watcher to the show, but Russert did get... First of all, he was criticized a few years back when he had Bush on, before Bush was selected
yes.
president, for lobbying only softballs at him and being much harder on Howard Dean and others. And so he was very well aware that this was going to be a heavily watched and heavily criticized interview. He needed to step up to the plate. He looked tough when I saw him, but admittedly, I didn't see the whole interview.
Now, I won't say that he was a cream puff, Enid.
But he wasn't as tough as he usually is.
Well, he did ask some tough questions. He really did. But the answer that he received from Bush seemed to satisfy him.
Okay.
Instead of...
Stepping on the gas.
Exactly.
All right, Pete, I thank you very much for the report. 303-382-1150. Mike calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. First-time caller.
Oh, wait, we have something for you.
Oh, thank you.
Has your life been transformed yet?
Yes.
Well, soon. Yes.
I disagree. The last guy, Russia would give him a hard question, and Bush would evade it, and Russia would try to follow it up or pin him down, and Bush would go, if I may, and then it'd go further off a point. So I think all of Russia's questions, except for the last one, were pretty to the point, and he asked some things that I wanted to hear, like how he campaigned as a uniter, not a divider. And then he showed polls showing how, you know, it's the most divisive the country's ever been.
Right.
And also how he criticized the Democrats for nation building when he was campaigning. And
that's exactly what he indulged in. Okay, so your take on it? You think that Russert was fairly tough in his questioning?
Yeah, without cutting him off in mid-sentence, I think he was as tough as it could be. And I think Bush...
And how do you feel Bush did?
I thought it was hilarious. He kept doing the smirk, you know, trying to laugh off some of the questions, and they'd cut back to Russert, and his face would be serious, because, you know, this is a serious question.
Yeah, serious and tough, and then you got Mr. Smirkomatic, President Smirker.
So I'm hoping somebody will call in and try to say that he did a good job, Bush.
All right. Let's see if that person calls in. Thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. That opens up a line. 303-382-1150. Our president, Smirk and Shirk. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. Did you see the Russert interview with President Bush yesterday? What was your take on it? Do you think that Bush did a good job? So far, our callers have said they don't think so. Even Peggy Noonan, who was one of Bush's biggest supporters, she didn't think that he did a very good job. She didn't think that he distinguished himself. She didn't think he really stepped up to the plate. Maybe that's why we have now a story talking about how Al-Qaeda was seeking Iraq's help to engage in a sectarian war. You think that's to get our eyeballs off of the failure yesterday of Bush to do a good job in the face of Tim Russert's tough questions? What do you think?
If a radio station solicits your call, shouldn't they let you speak? We will. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house, that's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Are you tired of high monthly house payments? Are you ready to take advantage of interest rates as low as 3.25%? Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package that is custom tailored to your needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Get the best rate available at the best price possible. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and Western State Mortgage will donate $250 to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive. So start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit the website at www.westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. That number is 303-754-4911. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I was served in the National Guard. I flew F-102 aircraft. I got an honorable discharge. I've heard this ever since I started running for office. I mean, it's a put in my time, proudly so.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:30 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Ken Wright will be joining us. How the Anasazi engineered all these water projects. His book signing is going to be tomorrow night. I thought it was tonight, but it's tomorrow night at the Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7:30. But he'll be live with us in studio. He is a local author. We are talking about George W. Bush and his appearance yesterday on Meet the Press. How well do you think he did? I'd like to hear your view of it. So far, the callers have told us, and most of the pundits have agreed, that he didn't do a very good job. And the business about making his records available for his military service, if he said the caveat was, if they still exist, apparently they've been purged and they don't exist. But so far, he's always promised to make them available, even in the last campaign. And so far, do we see them? Not yet. 303-382-1150. Tobias on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I know you're going to hang up on me. You always do. But I just want to tell you, I support Bush. And the reason is because he's a born-again Christian. And I've recently found what that truly means.
Did you watch the interview yesterday with Tim Russert?
I don't need to because I feel the passion he has for this country.
Well,
I see it.
Well,
his war record, what he's done doesn't matter. It's the fact that he's a born-again Christian, and I know what that means. That Carly girl, 11-year-old girl, gave me the passion. She died with honor. And the Joseph guy, he's seen that she had no fear, and now he knows.
Tobias, let me ask you a question. So you believe, because you have so much faith, you're a born-again Christian, you have faith, so whether you do you read the newspaper even?
Yeah, I listen to talk radio, watch the news, I look at the newspaper.
I said, do you read the newspaper?
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't see the interview yesterday with Bush, but you believe him, even though the intelligence was bad, just because he's a Christian and you're a Christian, you're going to sign on with him no matter what.
I'll tell you
is that
why.
What you're telling me? Even if his information was wrong, even if he engineered a war that we didn't have to fight, you're telling me that regardless, you're going to support him because you're born-again Christian and you believe that he is as well.
Yes, and our country went to war over terror. Our soldiers do not fear. Carly did not fear. I do not fear. There is no terror. We're all going to die. The war on terror is false.
It's
a war on God.
Is it a war on God?
It is a war on God.
Okay, Tobias. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. What do you think about what Tobias is essentially saying? He is saying, let me see if I can extract some of the logic out of it in case there is any. What he's saying is because he's a born-again Christian and the president is a Christian, possibly born again, that he will follow him anywhere because he believes he's an honest man, he has passion in his heart, and he's not going to confuse himself with the facts. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Kathy calling from Masonville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy.
I watched Bush last night for about 45 minutes, and then he was on. They showed it again, and I saw the part I missed. And I kind of almost felt sorry for him.
Where did they rebroadcast it?
I think they either had it on C-SPAN or they might have had it on NBC again.
Okay.
He was basically pretty pathetic, I thought. And he
called himself a war president, but he seemed very weak in an interview. Now, that is a very intriguing. You say one thing about yourself, but how you present yourself in a visual medium was another way entirely. He was very frightened, actually, I think, of Russert's interview.
Well, he really seemed to be on the defensive, and he doesn't really have the verbal skills to be able to defend himself very well. He's not articulate at all, as we all know. I mean, you know, this is just a little minor criticism. One of the things that really bothers me about him is he can't conjugate verbs properly, and I think for the President of the United States, you know, I'd like to hear someone that's a little bit more articulate. But his reasoning seems so simplistic to me, and as I said, he was very defensive. And he seemed to use a lot of empty language to defend himself.
Because it has always worked. On this administration, it has always worked for them. War president, he has these phrases, and he used them a lot of times.
Yes, and as I said, I mean, I kind of almost felt sorry for him. I felt he's a person who's way over his head, and that he brought us into this war based on very flimsy intelligence. And from what I understand, I think, to use the British term, the intelligence the administration did get was basically sexed up. And it's how can you defend taking a country into war under those circumstances?
Well, first of all, the leader of any CEO is to evaluate the information that comes to him. So he got and probably politicized and demanded sexed up intelligence. But if he were a real leader, he would have at least said, let's look at this. I have some questions about this. Let's not rush into this. What they really wanted to do was rush into it. They wanted no diplomatic solution. They just wanted to go to war. And they never, this is how simplistic they were and how lacking in intelligence they were. First of all, they weren't able to assess what they got to really see through it and realize that it was very flimsy intelligence because they didn't want to. They wanted all the reasons that they could use to sell going to war to the American public.
Well, all I can say is I really hope that this is going to come back to haunt him. I think he's one of these people that really, instead of Bill Clinton being a Teflon kid, I think it should be George W. Bush. And I'm hoping now that finally his lies are going to start unraveling and people are going to see what he really is.
I thank you, Kathy, for the call. 303-382-1150. Roy in Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. I, as a veteran of World War II, I'm concerned with what Bush did before he went to Alabama and they said he was there and or was not. And the reason he left the Texas Air Guards is because he refused to take a physical. And, of course, he was making trips with his buddy down, I don't know, doing drugs or women down in Mexico, and they grounded him.
He refused to take, first of all, he said he was going to Alabama to work on a campaign, a political campaign.
Well, he refused to take a physical.
He refused, that's right. They would not let him fly, and the reasons why he refused to take a physical, we can only speculate. They've never told us why.
Yeah, so he was going to Alabama to perhaps get a desk job.
But he never, allegedly never showed up in Alabama.
That's right, the commander, I've heard the commander on television saying that he never showed up. And he never went back to. He was disappeared for 18 to 27 months.
That's right.
And I, as a veteran, want to know how he got an honorable discharge. And that's all of my military friends from World War II. We meet once a month, and we're totally against Bush. And none of us would vote for him. And I feel sorry for the young National Guard men that are over there right now.
I'm with you, Roy, and I thank you for the call. Call us again, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 38 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Firefighters were able to quickly get a house fire under control in Edgewater today, but not before some major damage was done to the single-family home. Six people were in the home, but all made it out with only minor injuries for two of them. Kroenke Sports Enterprises announced today that they'll launch a regional sports network this fall, which will have the rights to broadcast games for the Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets. The network will also carry other local teams, such as Denver's lacrosse and arena football teams, along with some non-sports activities as well. Joseph Dowler will be back in court today to hear his sentence in the death of his two-month-old son, Tanner. The infant died in October 2002 after suffering several broken bones, burns, and a brain injury. Dowler could wind up behind bars for up to 100 years. In sports, the Denver Nuggets hit the court at the Pepsi Center tonight as they welcome the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies beat the Nuggets when they last met in January. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals? At Earhart Keefe, Steiner & Huttman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKS&H has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKS&H are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKS&H. At Earhart, Keith, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at eksh.com. EKSNH, Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
KNRC News Time is 1240. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the Post News Home Buyer Fair and cleaning up three accidents. An injury accident westbound I-70 up at the Eisenhower Tunnel should be out of there, as well as westbound I-70 at I-25. A multi-vehicle accident in the cleanup stages. If you had a stall, eastbound Alameda at Lipan should be out of there as well. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field, featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more. It's going to be big. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Steneffert with the KNRC Forecast and the Weather Channel. Quiet weather through tomorrow, then some snow for tomorrow night and Wednesday. For this afternoon, looking good, plenty of sunshine up near 40. And tonight, partly cloudy and cold, a low of 12. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, high 38. Snow showers colder Wednesday, high only 26. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Steneffert on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 38 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did, but then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock indexes are still moving right around opening marks this hour, though breadth is strong on the positive side. Advancing stocks are beating out declining issues by more than 3-2 on the big board. Right now, the Dow is up 6 points. S&P 500 roughly flat. The NASDAQ is gaining 6 points. Trading volume is on the heavy side. 860 million shares have changed hands. Stocks and airlines moving on different planes today. Movement mixed. But one climber is British Airways. Stock is up more than a dollar. After posting stronger-than-expected earnings for last quarter, most of its profit gain comes from cost-cutting, though air traffic increased.
The transatlantic carriers don't have to worry about low-fare carriers across the pond yet, but that day may be coming.
Kevin Mitchell chairs the Business Travel Coalition. Though the NASDAQ is positive, it would be more so if not for Juniper Networks, the network gear maker saying it will buy NetScreen Technologies for $4 billion in stock. Right now, Juniper is down $3. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
This is the fourth different explanation the president has given for going to war with Iraq. And when you look at his poll numbers, I think you can understand the public is getting tired of a president acting like a school kid explaining away why he didn't get his homework done.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1243 on the Monday version, Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock later. We'll be joined by Ken Wright. He's written a book called Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. I'm intrigued by the Ancients of Mesa Verde and Mesa Verde itself. And so I'm interested to talk to him. We're going to be giving away also two pairs of tickets to Art Garfunkel. He's going to be in concert here at Betrick Hall, Betrick Concert Hall, February 19th at 7:30 p.m. February 19th at 7:30 p.m., a week from Thursday, Betrick Concert Hall. The value of the tickets is $80, so we're going to be giving away two pairs of tickets a day, starting today through Thursday. So stay tuned. We have a lot of wonderful guests coming up this week. And Friday, we're going to be live from the Denver Press Club. We do it once a month. We'll be doing the Valentine's Day edition. What we're talking about is the president's interview with Tim Russert on Meet the Press yesterday. And those of you who saw the whole interview, I only caught the tail end of it. I want to know how you felt about it. Did Bush do a good job? Even the Republican pundits don't think he did a very good job. Bush said to Tim Russert that he was, quote, absolutely willing to have all of his service records made public, but he acknowledged that so far, no one had been able to find records from the relevant period of his service. What do you think about that? And apparently these records are housed in Denver, but it is believed that they were purged a long time ago. And maybe at the behest of President Bush, we don't really know. John Kerry said that just because you get an honorable discharge, which is what Bush is saying about his service, does not in fact answer the question of whether you completed your guard duties. Asked why he should get a second term, given the economy has lost 2.2 million jobs since Bush took office, Bush said his presidency has coincided with a, quote, a time of tremendous stress in our economy, and that he had acted aggressively, mainly through tax cuts, to turn things around. Democrats say that the main effect of the tax cuts has been to help plunge the government into deficit and leave the nation unable to afford other needs. He said, and said repeatedly, he said that he has emphasized that he's leading the nation through a great danger. I'm a war president, he said. The lines are full. They will open up. Let's go to the phones. Don, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Don.
You know something? I think Bush did well yesterday.
He did?
I think he did a great job, because when I woke up this morning, I didn't see any headline news that American citizens had went and protested in front of the White House and went and snatched his ass out. And as long as he gets on TV and he's able to lie like this, and you don't have, you know, people are more concerned about Janet Jackson's breast or what happened last night with the Grammys. That's what they're talking about around the water cooler today. They don't give a damn about what Bush said.
Well, and if they did give a damn, what the administration has, the story that they have leaked to the Associated Press and others, is that an anti-American operative in Iraq appealed for help from al-Qaeda leaders to help spark a sectarian war between Shiite and Sunni Muslims in an effort to tear the country apart, U.S. officials said today. So they're trying to get your mind off of Bush's poor performance and try to make the connection between terrorism in Iraq, hoping that if you are not besotted enough by Janet Jackson's breast or her no-show at the Grammys yesterday. And by the way, one of you just emailed me that the reason she was even rescinded and asked back, although she declined to appear, was that she was supposed to make some presentation to Luther Vandross, and apparently he said, if she doesn't do it, I'm not going to be part of it either. So that's what one of you is telling me. Thanks, Don. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. That opens up a line. Adam in Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Adam.
You had a great weekend.
I did have a great weekend. How was yours?
Excellent, except for Sunday morning when I was
actually
outraged.
I think that helped to make a better weekend.
I was outraged. In fact, and I wanted to call and point out, first of all, two things, so if I can get both of them. First of all, his inconsistency in that at one point Tim Russert asked the president why we went to war. Why we went to war partially was because we were worried that Saddam would let the weapons that he has get into the hands of some type of terrorist group. And then later on, and I taped this and watched it carefully, and then later on the president said that, well, what happened to the weapons? Well, they could be buried, they could have been destroyed, or they could have gotten into the out of the country. So
wait a minute. The best line is, of course, the intelligence that we had going to war said it was an imminent, that Saddam Hussein was an imminent threat. Do you know what Bush said? He said, we got to get him before he's an imminent threat. Can you believe that? It is shocking. It's terrible.
And to hide behind that Tobias who called earlier, I mean, if that is the mentality of the people who are following this guy around, this is amazing to me. I mean, born again Christian, give me a break. And the other thing, did you notice at the end, when Tim Russert asked him, what are you going to do if you don't win? He would not answer.
Oh, of course not. He's not.
And I propose, this is what I propose, Enid, have your conservative listeners call in, and I challenge them to tell me that this president is not another Richard Nixon who's going to do whatever it takes, including lie, steal, and cheat, to get reelected, and he's got the money to do it.
Oh,
so I challenge conservatives to call in and defend this guy and tell me that he is not another Richard Nixon. He even looks like a crook. What can you say?
Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate the call. 30, he looks guilty. 303-382-1150. Max on his cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. The interview yesterday morning, what really caught my attention was when Russert asked him about John Kerry and his background and involvement with the Skull and Bones Secret Society out of Yale.
Yeah, he said he couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, and he said he couldn't talk about it. Now, I think that's important.
Why?
I think there's a lot of information about that secret society that America needs to know about. Is there anything you could tell us about that?
Well, I actually got a really long email, which I didn't bring with me, about Skull and Bones that one of you sent me that I have to look through it and see. But anytime there's a secret society, everybody thinks that it's more powerful probably than it is. I don't actually know very much about Skull and Bones, but those of you who do, I'd like to...
The Skull and Bones put Richard Nixon in place. The Skull and Bones funded Hitler.
Wait. What's your evidence for all of that?
My evidence is just documentation, I guess.
Because there's a lot of stuff floating out on the net, and I don't know how much of it is true. So,
well, I think what's true is the existence of the Skull and Bones and what their agenda is.
Well, we
and
don't know. They don't tell us what their agenda is.
Well, going back to Tobias, I think their agenda is the New World Order establishment, basically a global government. And what they use to achieve this agenda is what they call the controlled conflict, where you have, you know, a controlled conflict, two sides fighting, and they're part of both sides, America versus the terrorists. Who are the terrorists? You know, that's no defined enemy. That's not a defined front. That's not a real war. And so,
well, what it does is it creates an atmosphere for permanent war, Max. If you've got information, though, I want to see it, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Bruce, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
I watched about half the interview. I turned it off. I can't listen to him for too long because the gag reflex kicks in. But I was going to mention that where I turned it off is when I think he really, really was awful when Tim Russert asked him what he would say to the parents of these soldiers.
When Tim Russert asked President Bush, and what did Bush answer?
He stumbled around. He had to stop and start again, and I think he had an aha moment when he realized that, boy, what do you say to these parents?
Well, how would he know? He hasn't gone to one funeral.
Well, you got that right. But you know did you see 60 Minutes yesterday?
I saw the first segment of 60 Minutes yesterday where he has a lot of Christian support, and they are looking forward to, because they're trying to energize, what I know before the 60 Minutes piece, is because the Christian right has fallen down on the job, they need something to energize their base, and what they're going to use to energize their base is being rabidly against gay marriage. That's what's being used to get them to contribute money and to get them interested in politics again.
Well, and then they mentioned Tom DeLay, and they mentioned John Ashcroft, and they mentioned, you know, the whole cadre of characters in the Bush administration. And, you know, this thing that happened recently in Georgia, you know, with this taking evolution, you know, removing the word evolution.
Yeah, but they've restored it finally. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, but my point is that if anybody thinks that it's bad now, if he wins another term where he's a lame duck, and I think the born-again Christians are going to go crazy.
Well, I have a story where you had a born-again pilot asking people on the flight what their religion was and whether they were Christians, and the Christians to identify themselves, and we're going to talk about that, Bruce. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Finally, Denver has a talk station it can be proud of. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
I have a family. Then there's my job. 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours a week. My dog likes walks. Friends like to get together. I'm forgetting something. Oh, right, sleep. Gotta find time to do that at least once a week.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." The wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado know that your life is full. That's why we offer advisors who can help high net worth individuals manage their assets and have time left over to enjoy their lives.
It's such a relief to have a wealth management expert who can help me plan for the future.
For everything from asset management to investment services and more, the wealth management advisors at FNBC take the time to get to know you and understand your financial goals.
Now I get to spend more time with my family and friends. I get to walk an extra lap with the dog, and every now and then, I even get some sleep.
To secure your future, turn to the wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado. Call 303-308-3860.
I booked this four-star hotel in L.A. for $70 a night.
A three-star hotel in Chicago, $59 a night.
Priceline has the guaranteed best prices at top-of-the-line hotels. Save up to 40% off other leading online sites.
I paid $70 less than at Expedia.
You choose the price, neighborhood, and a two-, three-, or four-star hotel, and they'll find it.
I'm checking out of Hotels.com and checking into Priceline.
Top-of-the-line, guaranteed best price. Priceline.
See website for guaranteed details. Priceline's reservation process is unique and different from other online sites.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Create a little history today and volunteer with the Colorado Historical Society. The Colorado Historical Society is seeking volunteers to work 8 hours a month in the museum store or at the admissions desk. Various shifts and times are available and training is provided. The Colorado History Museum is located in downtown Denver at 13th and Broadway. And for more information, call 303-866-3961 or log on to coloradohistory.org.
Working on your car? Get to AutoZone and ask about their free Loan-A-Tool service. With a refundable deposit, you can borrow from more than 60 different specialty tools for free. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I think that with not finding the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, it confirms for me that we don't really have a reason to be there.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. We're talking about George Bush's interview yesterday by Tim Russert on Meet the Press. Did you see it? What did you think about it? Even conservatives didn't think that George Bush did a very good job. George, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, I was an instructor pilot at Moody Air Force Base in Valdosta, Georgia, when George Bush went through flight training.
Oh.
And within a week of him being on base, everybody knew his name because his father was a very famous political figure. You know, we were quite proud of having him on the base, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as his Montgomery or Alabama Air National Guard service, you make a lot of friends in the service, okay, a lot of buddies. Where are the people who served with him in the Montgomery Guard? Why aren't they coming forward and said he was there? So if I were Tim Russert, I would have asked him, who are some friends you made in the Montgomery Guard, and why don't they come forward and say you were there?
Ooh, what a great idea. Well, yes. Somebody just emailed.
Yeah, where are these people? I could say I was on the moon in 1970, and you prove I wasn't, you know?
Well, here is some information that I got from one of you, and this is his record. This is Freedom of Information record.
Yes.
His statement of points earned, and as it turned out, that it shows that he didn't show up for a significant period of time. Let me see if I can
exactly
access this.
While you're looking that up, I have another comment. The NBC News last week talked about it, and they showed a copy of his officer effectiveness report.
Mm-hmm.
Which runs kind of down the list and then left to right, you know, left, you're no good, right, you walk on water. Every block in that report from Alabama was checked, not observed.
Not observed.
Not observed. What does that tell you?
Wow. George, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the info. Let me show you. Eric just sent me a Freedom of Information Act, his George Bush's ARF statement of points earned. I'm not quite sure what this is. But the first listed date is October 29th, not November 29th. But George Bush was still in Alabama in October. What was he getting attendance credit for? We don't know what this document is. It's not a Texas Air National Guard document. It's a record from 1973 to 74. And ARF is for the reserves, among other three things. It's where members of the Guard are sent for disciplinary issues and so on. So anyway, that's the information that we have so far on George W. Bush that... He, as we know, Bush failed to show up for his annual physical on July 72. He was suspended in August, and the suspension was recorded on September 29. He was apparently transferred at that time and began accumulating ARF points in October. So that's all we know. He hasn't made his record available. He's not sure his record exists, but his record should exist somewhere unless someone has purged it. At whose behest, I wonder? Two more hours of Enid Live right here on AM 1150. Keep it right here.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Noodles & Company. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office is continuing its investigation into the pit bull attack yesterday that injured 53-year-old Constance Simmons of Englewood. She was walking three dogs in Highlands Ranch yesterday morning when she and the dogs were attacked by two pit bulls. Deputies arriving on the scene shot and killed both of the attacking pit bulls. The preliminary investigation indicates that one of the pit bulls may be the same dog that Animal Control picked up on two different occasions in September and October of 2003. Further investigation may include possible DNA matching of the pit bulls. The Sheriff's Office and Animal Control have identified the suspect or suspects that were responsible for the two dogs prior to the attack. Due to the ongoing investigation, the names are not being released. In yesterday's attack, Simmons received minor injuries to her calf and nose. She was treated and released in good condition from Sky Ridge Medical Center yesterday. The Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets games will be on a new network starting this fall. Kroenke Sports Enterprises is launching a new regional sports network that will carry the Avs and Nuggets games along with those of Denver's lacrosse and arena football teams. Jim Martin, president of the still-unnamed Kroenke Sports Enterprises Regional Sports TV Network, describes what the network will have to offer its viewers.
The heart and soul of this network, its primary focus will be local programming, local and regional programming, programming of direct interest to this market, to your market.
Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says this move will provide a major boost to the marketing of the city.
You know, as mayor, I spent a lot of time trying to find ways to promote Denver in the best, most powerful way, both as a city and as a region. And clearly, this new network will be a very powerful marketing tool.
Martin says his people will work with cable and satellite operators to be sure that viewers will be able to see the games. A fire is under control at an Edgewater home, but not without some major damage. The blaze was called in just before 11 o'clock this morning. While firefighters were able to quickly control the fire near 23rd and Marshall, crews report major damage to the single-family dwelling's entire structure. No word on what started the fire or where it originated. The six people inside, four adults and two children, all made it out with only minor injuries for two of them. President Bush says the nation has overcome a lot since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and the economy is getting better.
And I say we overcome a lot because we're growing. The growth is good. New jobs are being created. Interest rates are low. Home ownership in America is at one of the highest levels ever, and that's positive. People are owning their own home.
Bush again urged Congress to make tax cuts permanent. Some of the tax cuts that Bush pushed through Congress are due to start expiring, and he is trying to make that an election year issue. Bush spoke at an auto parts manufacturing facility in Springfield, Missouri today. On the eve of two more presidential primaries, frontrunner John Kerry seems to be extending his lead in the Democratic race for the White House. The latest Reuters MSNBC Zogby poll finds the Massachusetts senator with a huge lead over North Carolina Senator John Edwards one day before voters in Tennessee and Virginia head to the polls. Over the weekend, Kerry won caucuses in Michigan, Washington State, and Maine. An intercepted communique among al-Qaeda operatives could shed light on how the terror organization views events in Iraq. U.S. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett said Iraqis should know what al-Qaeda has in store for them.
One of the reasons we're talking about this letter is to let the people of Iraq know the plans that the terrorists have so they can harden their hearts against any attempts on the part of the terrorists to incite this type of civil war.
The New York Times reports the 17-page document complains that al-Qaeda isn't gaining a foothold in Iraq, U.S. forces aren't being scared away, and sparking a religious civil war between Shiites and Sunnis may be the best way to proceed. Meanwhile, two U.S. troops are dead, six injured following an explosion in northern Iraq today. Military officials were quick to stress that today's casualties were the result of an accident that occurred while the soldiers were disposing of ordnance and not the result of an attack. The cross-examination of the government's K-9 key witness in Martha Stewart's criminal trial continues today in a Manhattan courtroom. In its fourth day on the stand, Douglas Faneuil was questioned how he could remember a nearly three-year-old conversation he had with Stewart, nearly verbatim. Heading into the last hour of today's trading session, stocks were mixed. The Dow was up 4 points, the NASDAQ up about 3.5, the S&P 500 down a percentage, just a part of a point. In sports, the Denver Nuggets play host to the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Grizzlies knocked off the Nuggets when they last played in January. Noodles & Company, soups, salads, and noodle bowls, sautéed fresh, served fresh as you like it. A place to take your time if you have it, or grab your dish and go, in Denver at 6th and Broadway. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by RTD. Drive less, save more. Kind of got busy around the metro area off freeway. We have an accident 120th in Huron. A couple injury accidents, Evans and Broadway, Sheridan and Ohio. And an accident reported 38th and Sheridan. Watch for that. Want to spend less time at the pump? Spend more time with RTD, North America's number one public transit agency. Call 303-299-6000 for route and schedule information. RTD, drive less, save more. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. A gorgeous winter afternoon, bright sunshine. That'll get us up to a high near 40. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, a low down to 12, and not a bad day on Tuesday. Partly cloudy with a high of 38. Snow's going to move in Tuesday night. That'll lead to a snowy day on Wednesday, a colder day too. Wednesday's high only 26. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenneford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 40 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. You know that there are more coronary heart attacks on Mondays than any other day of the week. Not if you listen to Enid Live, though. We're going to, later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Ken Wright. He's written a book called Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. I am so interested in the subject of Mesa Verde and the Anasazi, the ancients who lived there and who populated a lot of the West, then I'm very intrigued to talk with our guest. He'll be at Tattered Cover Lodo tomorrow night at 7:30 talking about his book. And at a book signing, we're going to be giving away two tickets for Art Garfunkel. He's appearing February the 19th, which is a week from Thursday. Is that correct? A week from Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Betcher Concert Hall. We're going to be giving two pairs of tickets away through Thursday, two pairs a day. So four tickets, the value of each pair, $80. So these are good, expensive tickets. And why don't we give some away right now? 303-321-1150 is the number. You be the third caller. 303-382-1150. If you are the third caller, you win a pair of tickets February 19th, which is a week from Thursday, 7:30 p.m., Betcher Concert Hall. Right down here, right downtown. And the value of the tickets is $80. 303. We have a winner. Okay, there we go. Got a winner, I think. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about President Bush's appearance yesterday on Meet the Press and what you thought about it. And a lot of the conservative pundits thought that he did not do well. And Jordan Lyles, our producer, who's very interested in music and has a background in music, said he is still bothered by the Grammy Awards. And for the following reasons. They wouldn't let Janet Jackson on again unless she apologized yet again. She's apologized at least once, if not more, for the exposed breast. But they did allow George Clinton to be on and perform on the Grammys last night, even though he's just been arrested for marijuana and cocaine possession. And Justin got to perform at least twice, but he again apologized. So the caveat for him was that he would apologize. But in Jordan Lyle's view, Justin is the victimizer. He's the one who pulled the clothes off of Janet Jackson. And in Jordan's view, Janet is the victim. You can make a good case for that. And she's the one who gets beat over the head with this thing. And she's not allowed on unless she grovels some more. What do you think about that? And what do you think about our values? So you got a president here who's being interviewed by Tim Russert. And when Tim says, you know, given that we didn't have any credible evidence about going to war, that there was no real justification for going to war against Iraq, given that we had no credible evidence and yet more than 500 people have died, what do you say about that? Well, that's all right. But you let Janet Jackson expose her boob instead of George W. Bush being the exposed boob on a political interview, and the country is up in arms. Do you want to comment about that? 303-382-1150, because it segues into our next topic, and that is CU and what one of the prominent leaders who's in charge of the investigation has said, and she's got herself into hot water. Congratulations to Donna. From Aurora. She's the winner of the first set of tickets we're giving away for Art Garfunkel today. We're going to give away one more set of tickets. So if you're listening, sometime between now and 3 o'clock, another set of tickets, another pair of tickets worth $80 we'll be giving away. And we're going to be doing that every day up to and including Thursday, giving away two pairs of tickets to Art Garfunkel. And I want to go to that myself. So I hope there's some tickets for me there. Jordan, you want to go? Yes, he wants to go too. All right, 303-382-1150. What do you think about our technical director, Jordan Lyles, our engineer, saying that George Clinton got busted for cocaine and marijuana possession, but he was right up there singing? Bill Clinton got busted for a couple of things, and he got a Grammy, although he wasn't there. Justin got to perform a couple of numbers. And as far as Jordan's concerned, he was the one who attacked Janet Jackson. She's the victim, and she's the one who takes the heat. What do you think? Did they tell her to do it, or was this her idea to bear all? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. We're also still... Guess who made a lightning fast, but not nearly as quick as our president-in-chief's visit to Iraq? Guess who was there the other day? Made an unannounced visit, Prince Charles, wearing desert camouflage and a black beret, made a surprise visit to British troops. He's the first member of the royal family to go to Iraq since Saddam Hussein's ouster. He was there for 5.5 hours. How long was Bush in Iraq? I don't think Bush was there for 5.5 hours. I think it was a lot shorter period of time. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And then I guess Prince Charles is going to go back, is going onward to... he's going onward to Iran from Iraq, I believe it was announced. 303-382-1150. People are talking about the possibility of a Kerry Edwards ticket. What do you think about that? The tabs are full of stories about John Kerry, that he used to date starlets, that he's had plastic surgery already. Forget the Botox. He already did something to shorten his jaw and gave various excuses for it. That he likes to butt into lines and cut ahead of people and say things like, "Do you know who I am?" So I don't know if we're going to love Kerry once he gets in there and that he hasn't done that much as a senator. But I'll tell you what, anybody's better than Bush. We'll deal with Kerry once he gets in there and refine it down. John, Klein from Parker. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. What I see is you get wrapped up in the minutiae of the situation. If we look at the world as the global situation and just see that the Middle East is a hotbed for all sorts of extremist insanity, and to look at what could come out of this war, like the dominoes going across now to Libya and et cetera. History is only going to tell us what happened. You want to beat this thing into the ground over why we went. There's plenty of good reasons to be there.
Okay, well, now wait a minute. If there's a lot of, if there's just a minute. If there is a lot of instability in the Middle East and there's a lot of fundamentalism, it would seem to me that the place we could have started with would have been Saudi Arabia, since 15 of the 19 hijackers had Saudi passports. They were Saudis.
That's because you couldn't get into this country. The only ones who could get in were Saudis.
You don't know who tried to get in and who didn't. There's no way. John, did you call up to filibuster? Did you call up to talk and have a conversation? The only way we know who came in, there's no way to know who tried to get in and didn't get there unless we get some evidence after the fact and we have precious little. The only way to know who were the hijackers is to look at the passports and 15 of the 19. So it's an after the fact and a fairly lame argument to say that other yes, it is a lame argument.
We're not going to take people from Iraq. We're not going to take people from Afghanistan. Saudi Arabia on the surface are our friends. People come here all the time.
On the surface, you had it right. On the surface, they are our friends. But underneath the surface, they're the chief sponsors of terrorism and fundamentalism. So why didn't we go after them?
Well, the whole thing is so much more complicated. It has so many more levels.
But, John, let me just ask you this question. Are you supporting President Bush because he went to war against Iraq with faulty intelligence information, and now all the things he said, that they were an imminent threat and so on, have turned out not to be true?
Am I supporting? I think that the history is going to show that.
I'm asking you if you support him in this, even though the intelligence is now.
I don't like Republicans or Democrats. But I would vote for Bush in a heartbeat over clown Kerry.
Why would you vote for him?
Because Kerry's got, this guy doesn't believe in anything. This guy's got no backbone about anything.
He served in the military, which was more than President Bush did. President Bush was apparently AWOL for his National Guard duty that kept him out of Vietnam. So when you talk about standing for something, how can you compare, in terms of military service, John Kerry with George W. Bush and not find John Kerry the winner?
But I know that Bush stood for something.
Bush stood for getting into the National Guard so he wouldn't have to fight in Vietnam. Kerry went and fought in Vietnam and was heavily decorated. And then Bush didn't even bother to show up for his last year and a half to 2 years of National Guard service. Don't you think that that embodies a definition of chutzpah, which has otherwise been defined as people who murder their parents and then throw themselves on the mercy of the court because they're orphans?
No.
Okay, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Bob, calling from Colorado Springs. You're live with Enid.
Yes, great show. A couple of comments.
Thank you.
One of them was the best part of Russert's interview when he asked about his guard service, and Bush had this deer in the headlights look that is just...
He has that look a lot when it isn't the smirk look, so it alternates between smirk, shirk, and deer in the headlights.
Yeah. And the other comment is... You know, we're going to have a lot of criticisms of intelligence and the CIA stuff. If we look at, actually it's a group by Rumsfeld, and it's the Office of Special Plans. These guys he couldn't get the information he wanted out of the CIA.
He didn't trust the CIA, and he didn't trust them to politicize, and so he set up his own group that would give him the information he wanted, and why they're not coming under scrutiny, too, because they were another parallel universe of intelligence information trying to undermine the CIA, and you would think that you'd have enough checks and balances here that you'd finally get an accurate picture, and they are ducking under the table, those guys.
I would think this would be treasonous, and nobody is even looking at what's going on. I mean, you know, we're feeding, you know, false intelligence to the cabinet. Actually, it was one of the cabinet members doing it, but, you know, cooking the stories and putting this out. And to me, you know, that's treasonous. And why is this an administration
that has cooked the books in every single way. When they talked about the tax cuts benefiting Americans, working-class Americans, middle-class Americans, they absolutely lied. The tax cuts continue to benefit the richest Americans. It's
absolutely
a way of dismantling the government. So they cooked the books on the tax cuts, and it's given us huge deficits so that you have people like Bill Frist saying, you know, it's not possible for us to provide health care for everybody. Well, why isn't it? If we weren't in such horrible deficit, maybe we could create some sort of a plan. Canada, I don't believe, is as rich as we are, and they managed to provide it to everybody. The Scandinavian countries provide it. Great Britain provides it. How is it that the last remaining superpower, when I think, given China's ascendancy and India's ascendancy right now, economically and so on, I think we're going to be the last remaining superpower for not much longer.
Absolutely.
I thank you for the call, Bob. 303-382-1150. Eleanor, in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well, Eleanor.
That's good. This Meshuggah you just got through talking to from the Springs. No, not from the Springs. The one before that. They gave you such an argument.
Yeah.
I mean, this man probably never served a day in his life doing anything for anybody. That's my opinion. First of all, about Bush being in the reserves. My husband spent 23 years in the military. He was in Vietnam. My two sons were in the Navy. They went to the Gulf back in the 80s, and to think that if one of them had ever taken leave of absence for, 2 months, never mind 18 months, they would have gone into the pokey and that would have been that.
Absolutely right.
And, you know, so these people who are saying, you know, oh, well, Bush did, yeah, well, if I had Bush's daddy, I wouldn't have gone either, you know? So.
I think the most telling thing is one of our callers said, and whenever you get somewhere, and George W. Bush, remember he was a cheerleader in college.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a personable guy.
A cute kid.
He made friends wherever he went. Mm-hmm. Not one person has stepped forward to say, you know what, I served with him in Alabama. No one ever saw him. So how is it that nobody, not one of his buddies, stepped forward to say, I did serve with this guy?
What can I tell you?
There you go.
I mean, it speaks for itself.
It does. Eleanor, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150. What station are you listening to? If there were a pop quiz, would you know what you were listening to? 1150 KNRC is the correct answer.
Where Denver comes to hear both sides talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
AM 1150 KNRC.
This is your 30-second Vanguard Insight on expense ratios. When comparing mutual fund expense ratios, the smaller the number, the more money you keep. Ratios that start with whole numbers? Not good. If you see a decimal point first and then the numbers? Better. Expense ratio too high? Call 1-888-VANGUARD or visit us at Vanguard.com and invest in our way of investing.
Call for prospectus for more information and read it carefully before you invest. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
WB2. Tonight on WB2 News at 9. It's on television, in concerts. You see it more and more. Girls kissing girls. Is it in?
As a guy, heterosexual male, I loved it.
Some girls are just doing it for attention.
Or does it offend?
It is nasty.
I definitely believe it's being abused.
Some call them lipstick lesbians. Is the chick kiss the hot new trend? I'm Vita Urbonis. We go in search of answers.
Taking the time to explore issues we face today. Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
This is
WB2 Morning News.
When weather happens in Colorado, turn to WB2 Morning News.
The station with the most local news in the morning.
And weather and traffic on the twos.
Every 10 minutes, get updated weather and road conditions.
Plus, check on your morning commute drive time.
We'll save you time when you need it most.
WB2 Morning News, the place to turn when weather happens.
We'll help you plan your day.
No matter what it's like outside.
WB2 Morning News, weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9, because your time counts. AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farb during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show or anytime at knrcradio.com where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1:22 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I have some good news. Joe Anderson, my producer, came in and tentatively, but if it pans out, and it looks like it very well might, we are going to have Ron Suskind on as a guest on Wednesday. He, along with Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary, Suskind wrote the book, and he is a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer, former reporter for the Wall Street Journal. The book is called The Price of Loyalty. This is the one that made such a big splash, where Paul O'Neill was on 60 Minutes, and where Paul O'Neill said that the president wanted to go to war even before 9/11. So it's called George W. Bush, the White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill. This is by Ron Suskind, winner of the Pulitzer Prize. He tentatively now, we'll let you know, but tentatively looks like he'll be with us on Wednesday. We're thrilled. So we do get wonderful guests on Enid Live. We're talking about the president's interview yesterday with Tim Russert. And let me just tell you, Tom Shales, who's the TV critic, and we have had him on as well. He's been our guest on this program. For the Washington Post, he says not a lot new emerged from the interview, but what did come across was you know, the sense of style. He said, with television, though, style can easily be content. And Bush, from the outset of the session, came across as defensive and slightly, subtly agitated with that I'd rather be anywhere else right now demeanor hiding behind his careful smile. It's widely known that Bush is uncomfortable in these ad-lib situations and so has held scandalously few televised press conferences during his term. Sitting down with Russert, who was known as tough but not bullying, was probably a wise political move. I'm not so sure that it was wise. I don't think it helped him. He meant for it to help him, but I'm not so sure that it did. And that's why the administration had to release a story about some kind of Al-Qaeda connection that may or may not have occurred with Iraq. Suddenly that gets released this morning. Don't you think the timing is suspect? Carl, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Carl.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm a Vietnam veteran, two tours in Vietnam and with the Marine Corps. And I can bet your my bottom dollar, believe me, that Mr. Bush, through pulling strings and through his father's influence and family name, more than likely bought his honorable discharge. It happened quite a lot, and I'm sure it still happens, although I think today it's probably nowhere as prevalent as it used to happen.
What do you mean bought his honorable discharge? How would you have gone about doing that if you were well-connected?
Well, I think his father had the ear of quite a few number of people in the Pentagon, in the Department of Defense, in the in the National Guard, and just putting in a good word here and there, and saying when you're up for retirement, there's a whole bunch of different reasons, Enid, that you can come up with for having somebody say sure. Remember with Bill Clinton that he had letters written for him to get him out of the draft and everything else. A letter here, a letter there, Enid, could have very easily gotten Mr. Bush's...
Well, here's what's astonishing. He's very eager to share his records. He said he was careful to say if they still exist. So he must know that they don't exist. Nobody has stepped forward who said that they ever served with him in Alabama. It's very possible that the reason that he didn't show up is that he refused to take a physical, because what would that physical have revealed? It was a time in his life when he was drinking and alleged to have been doping at the same time. So he doesn't take the physical. By not taking the physical, that means he's grounded. He can't fly. The taxpayers are spent more than $1 million to train him to fly these planes. And by the way, he qualified with the absolute lowest score that you could possibly get qualifying. So it wasn't enough that he protected his sorry behind from fighting in Vietnam at a time when people were becoming conscientious objectors. Some of them ran to Canada. A lot of them stayed in school longer than they wanted to or wound up being teachers. Whatever it took to get a deferment, they were willing to do it. He wanted to go into the National Guard, which kept Texas safe from the North Vietnamese, kept him out of Vietnam, and he didn't even show up. And it's possible that he didn't show up is because he was grounded and they told him forget it until you get your act together.
And Enid, believe me, he's not the only one that I believe wormed his way out of serving, doing his duty with the National Guard and all that. I'll throw another name out there for you, Pat Robertson. It's very well known that his father's influence got him out of serving in the Navy and all. And
Robertson, who's busy praying for the Supreme Court to drop dead so that we get better laws, Robertson?
Pat Robertson, absolutely.
And didn't he also lie about when he got married to his wife because apparently she was pregnant a little bit sooner than she was supposed to be?
Well, I'm not that familiar with that, but I wouldn't put it past him.
He got in the soup when he started to run for president. He got in the soup because he was lying about something, and I can't remember what it was exactly.
And his paperwork just doesn't disappear, just doesn't get, fall behind a filing cabinet, Enid.
One story.
His paperwork was deleted from the system.
Well, it probably was, but supposedly it should exist on microfiche somewhere in Denver. So we got to get our magnifying glasses out, our Sherlock Holmes Deerstalker caps, and start looking for the microfiche that might have Bush's records on them. Carl, I thank you for the call. In light, we are talking about Jordan Lyles, our technical producer, talking about Janet Jackson as victim. And she's the one who doesn't get to be on the Grammys because Justin pulled off her top. But we think that I happen to think that she was complicit in it also. You have here, CU, you have this scandal about the football parties, the recruiting parties, the sex and so on that's used to recruit college students in the athletic departments around the country. And now we're going to have an investigation several years after the fact. Why are we going to have an investigation? Because the governor wrote a scathing letter to Dr. Hoffman, who heads up the university, and said, if you don't do it, we will, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire. So she appoints a panel, and one of the co-chairs of the panel is a woman named Joyce Lawrence, a former state lawmaker from Pueblo. And she has gotten herself into the soup already before this thing gets underway, because she was quoted on Channel 4, our television partner, as saying that the ladies, let me see if I can find the exact quote here, that if the ladies are drinking or doing drugs, you know, she's implying that the question I, oh, here's it. She says, the question I have for the ladies in this is why they are going to parties like this and drinking or taking drugs and putting themselves in a very threatening or serious position. She also took the part of, she also defended the sheriff, a fellow Republican, Dan Corsentino, where she is located. He's under fire. And she's under fire also. They're both under fire because several women accused the county sheriff of sexual misconduct. What does sexual misconduct mean? Does that mean they didn't pop a Viagra and they pooped out? Sexual misconduct. She defended the sheriff, a fellow Republican, noting that most of the accusers talked about alleged incidents that reportedly happened years ago, and remarked that she believes that women subjected to sexual misconduct usually report it much sooner. So I think this woman, sounding biased going into it, against the women, this Joyce Lawrence, and a lot of people are screaming about her, and she's coming under fire even before this panel gets underway. I think they better think about replacing her. What do you think? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. But I will say this, girls, if you're drinking out of your brains, you know what? There is a concept in the law called shared negligence, and you put yourself at risk when you're among the nearly comatose here because you're looped on drugs or you're loopy on booze, and then things happen, you're going to put yourself at a horrible disadvantage. It's just like, and I agree with Camille Paglia on this one, you know, if you go to a guy's place at 2 in the morning and things happen that you didn't want to happen, you put yourself in a position where if you had said, no, I don't think I'm going to your place at 2 in the morning, knowing that you didn't want anything to happen, I think you protect yourself more. So you got to use your brains on these things. 303-382-1150. Nonetheless, I think Joyce Lawrence's comments are egregious, and we ought to think about replacing her on this panel that's not gotten off to a very promising start. Kathy calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, hi.
Hi.
I was calling to tell you that I heard on the Power Hour a few weeks ago that there's 10 vets in Alabama offering a $1,000 reward to anyone who can prove that Bush was in the National Guard in Alabama.
Do you have a feeling that they could up it to $1 million because there's actually no hope that they'll ever have to pay it off?
Oh, they probably could.
The Power Hour?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I just happened to run across it on the radio. I think it was on a Sunday, January 25th. I think that Joyce Riley, who was a major in the Air Force, I think she has something to do with the Power Hour. And they also said that in August 72, the planes were grounded at this particular base in Alabama, and it was a postal unit.
It was a postal unit?
A postal unit.
You know, that could have been... Woody Allen once said that if he wasn't, he's such a schlemiel, that he once said if he hadn't been successful as a filmmaker, he would have been like a courier, a delivery guy, or worked in the post office or something. So George W. Bush, he was in a postal unit?
Apparently. And they also said that in Texas, on your driver's license record, is anything that you have ever done, been arrested for, et cetera, anything, not just traffic.
That's right, and he was arrested for drunken driving in Maine, and it never appeared on his driver's license in Texas. He had either had a new one made, or they couldn't, or something.
Both Laura and George took out new driver's licenses right before the election.
Well, and she mowed down somebody. She murdered a high school. I mean, she was in an auto accident.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but her friend from high school, she killed him in an auto crash.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Does this give new meaning to postal units? I don't know.
No, no. It gives new meaning to the term going postal, apparently, because he's taken out his rage. Somebody else has to act on it and go and fight on his behalf because he was too busy doing other things. And here's what Dick Cheney famously said. He, too, was a chicken hawk. He said he had more important things to do when asked why he didn't go to Vietnam. Oh. He said he had more important things to do. And it's being suggested that he might be a liability on the ticket. So we'll see what happens. Kathy, thank you for this update. I really appreciate the information.
You're welcome.
303-382-1150. Al Gore finally bestirring himself to come alive. He looked like he was going to pop a vein. I saw him on TV. Did you see those clips of Al Gore? In a withering critique of the Bush administration, former Vice President Al Gore accused the president of betraying the country by using the 9/11 attacks as a justification for invasion of Iraq. He betrayed this country, Gore shouted in a microphone at a rally of Tennessee Democrats in Nashville. He played on our fears. He took America on an ill-conceived foreign adventure, dangerous to our troops, an adventure preordained and planned before 9/11 ever took place. The speech had several hundred Democrats roaring their approval for Gore, the party's 2000 standard bearer, who didn't manage to win. It was his to lose. Van calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, Van.
Yeah, just one thing that I thought was pretty interesting. I forget exactly where, but the question that I thought that Russert asked was a little bit more damaging concerning his background and the record than a lot of people have really picked up on so far.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he didn't really talk about, you know, the service records exclusively, he talked about pay stubs. And I guess the reason that that's important is that
he talked about what?
Pay stubs.
Oh, pay stubs, right.
And basically, it's impossible to serve without getting paid. So if he was showing up, he was accumulating some sort of credit, you know, for serving and getting hours that way. But also, he would have gotten paid. So even if all of the service records are gone, you would imagine that the tax records would be, you know, to some extent available.
Well, if a Bush operative hasn't gone around purging this information. I'll be very surprised if anybody is able to find it. You have to be a really good sleuth, and there has to be some serious opposition research looking for it, because the Democrats are serious about ousting him, regime change, and you know what? I believe that the tide is turning, and I hope.
I think people are going to be able to look back on this, and this might be the day when the final slide began and there wasn't any more bounces to be had.
No. Look at what they've done. Just look at the newspaper and you can see where the fingerprints all over this. The story that's getting a lot of attention today is that they found some kind of letter that some terrorist wrote trying to engage Saddam Hussein and forge some sort of an alliance. And interestingly enough, that's released today. U.S. officials released that today in the wake of what is becoming to look like a more and more disastrous interview that Bush underwent at the hands of Tim Russert. So they want to change the subject, they want to change it fast, and they want to make it look like there's some kind of an elision, some kind of connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, and there isn't so far. Thanks for the call, Van. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office is continuing its investigation into yesterday's pit bull attack that injured a woman who was out walking three other dogs. Deputies shot and killed the pit bulls, and DNA testing may be used to identify the dogs. The 53-year-old woman received minor injuries and was treated and released yesterday. Starting in the fall, televised games for the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets will be shown on a new regional sports network being launched by Kroenke Sports Enterprises. Kroenke owns both teams, along with the Pepsi Center. Joseph Dowler will find out today how many years he'll spend in prison for the child abuse death of his two-month-old son, Tanner. Dowler could get up to 100 years in prison after being convicted in November of 8 counts of felony child abuse. The infant died in October 2002 after suffering several broken bones, burns, and a brain injury. In sports, the Memphis Grizzlies come to town tonight to take on the Denver Nuggets at the Pepsi Center. In January, the Nuggets lost to the Grizzlies. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it online at goang.com. That's goang.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5 ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Finally starting to calm down a bit. This traffic report brought to you by RE/MAX. We do have a problem 120th right around Huron. Watch for an accident there. Also on I-25 right around Quincy, just south of Quincy. Watch for a tie-up. Not sure what's causing it, but you will see some delays either direction right around Quincy at I-25. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results. RE/MAX. There's a RE/MAX real estate office near you, so call them today. RE/MAX. Outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Steneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. Quiet weather through tomorrow, then some snow for tomorrow night and Wednesday. For this afternoon, looking good, plenty of sunshine up near 40. And tonight, partly cloudy and cold, a low of 12. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, high 38. Snow showers colder Wednesday, high only 26. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Steneford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 39 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC Market Watch.
We've entered a no-man's land on Wall Street, you might say, stuck between earnings season and the next batch of economic news set for later in the week, leaving the markets without a driver. Right now, the Dow Industrials are down 14 points. NASDAQ is up about a half point. The S&P 500 now losing 2. NASDAQ holding positive, no thanks to Juniper Networks, the busiest stock of the day, down over $3 on concerns the company is paying too much to purchase NetScreen Technologies. That $4 billion stock deal sending NetScreen shares up 36%. Traders are pecking away at poultry stocks after the government found evidence of the avian flu in Delaware, something that's already led several Asian countries to ban U.S. poultry imports. Tyson Foods now down a half dollar. Pilgrim's Pride is off $1.50 or 8%. Prudential Securities today predicting near-term profit-taking in these kinds of stocks. Again, the Dow is off 16 points. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
there were millions just like me who genuinely felt like they wanted George W. Bush to lead all of us in America wisely and well. And the reason I'm recalling those feelings now is because those are the feelings that were betrayed by this president.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we are giving away Art Garfunkel tickets today. We have, we're going to give them away every day between now and Thursday, various amounts on each day. I was wrong about some of this, I think. I thought we were doing two pairs a day. We're, on some days we will be, but, these tickets are worth $80. It is for, the February 19th appearance of Art Garfunkel at Betcher Concert Hall. So, that's a week from Thursday. So sometime in the, somewhere in the show, we're going to give away another pair of tickets today. And later we're going to be joined by Ken Wright. He has written a book on the Anasazi and how they did all these major engineering projects in Mesa Verde. I'm very intrigued to talk to him about that. And if all goes well, Ron Suskind, who has written the book that got everybody talking. This is Paul with Paul O'Neill's help. He is a Pulitzer Prize winner. He wrote a book called The Price of Loyalty. This is where Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary, revealed that there were plans to go to war against Iraq even before 9/11, that the administration was trying to figure out ways that they could sell it. And look what they've done. And here is Howard Kurtz, who says, and he writes a media column for the Washington Post, he says, not even the conservative commentators are defending Bush's performance on Tim Russert's show. The consensus seems to be that it was a weak, halting performance, that the White House gamble in having the president submit to Sunday morning interrogation did not pay off. Bush is getting bashed from both sides of the spectrum, but liberals are more likely to skewer Russert as well, saying he wasn't aggressive enough in the Oval Office setting, although I wonder whether they would have been satisfied with any interview that didn't end with Bush admitting error and begging forgiveness. The average viewer, at least the average viewer who watches Meet the Press, may not agree that Bush did it as poorly as his critics believe, but even the polarization among the punditocracy is telling that some of us on the right feel that Bush let them down. Peggy Noonan minces no words, and she is a real right-wing suck-up. She says, and she is so sappy to watch on TV. Don't you think, Peggy Noonan? I don't know how she does it, but she says, I'm one of those who feel his performance was not impressive. The president seemed tired, unsure, and often bumbling. His answers were repetitive, and when he tried to clarify them, he tended to make them worse. He did not seem prepared. He seemed in some way disconnected from the event. And this is what we have heard about President Bush, and this is what former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill says. That he is disengaged, that he is incurious. He's not curious. He doesn't ask for details. We have heard from other people who have studied Bush in some as much detail as possible to study him that the range of choices presented to him is extremely narrow, that people like Cheney and Rumsfeld make the choices and then they bring him to Bush. You want, along the lines of, do you want the glass half full or do you want the glass to be half empty? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Paul, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, Paul. Welcome.
Great show.
Thank you.
Say, do you remember when Owens was back campaigning for not my president, Bush?
Yeah.
He was, instead of resigning from the state, he went back there and campaigned. Have you noticed since he came back, you remember when we were in high school, there was always some kid that was kind of a punk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but Owens was on a Walmart this morning, and he's got his I'm a punk attitude, and he's kind of got a free ride here in Colorado. It's kind of unfortunate. I don't think he's too much concerned about Colorado. I think he's more concerned about riding the coattails of Bush into Washington.
Has Bush asked him about his own family values? Do we know about Owens' own family values as he practices them?
It's funny that everybody's afraid to question not my governor on that. I don't know.
Well, I ran into a reporter or two who has allegedly asked him whether he has ever fathered any children out of wedlock, and he says no. And then when the question came up about are you and Mark Holzman going to walk off in the sunset together, the press secretary jumped up in the middle, and that was it. So the question actually never got answered. But we don't see stories that say we ask the governor whether he's ever fathered a child out of wedlock, and he says he never has. We don't even see those stories if those questions have, in fact, been asked. And I don't know. I've only heard from reporters that they have been asked, but I've not ever seen a story addressing. And even there was a big a piece at the Post did recently, a front page Sunday edition of the Denver Post, talking about grading Governor Owens on his service and what he's accomplished in all years. Never mentioned that he and his wife, never that I saw, mentioned that he and his wife are separated. So I just think it's I think it's interesting the kid gloves that he gets dealt with in this town.
They're definitely taking care of him. It's damage control, and that's what they.
Well, I think people ought to demand answers. Is it somebody who's run on a platform of family values owes the public an explanation? Maybe ought to say if we're separating, then say, you know, no one else was involved. But that statement was never made, as far as I know.
I wish they would demand it, but he seems to be hands off everybody.
Paul, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. If you were on an American Airlines flight. An American Airlines pilot asked Christians on his flight to identify themselves and suggested that non-Christians discuss the faith with them. The case was handed over to the airline's personnel department for investigation. I mean, this was American Flight 34 headed from L.A. to New York when the pilot asked Christians on board to raise their hands. The pilot, whose name was not released, told the airline that he then suggested that the other passengers use the flight time to talk to Christians about their faith. I think this is so scary and so unnecessary. People who think that they have found the right way, thank God, that's great, great. But there they are trying to proselytize. There you are on a plane. Here's the pilot. And you're supposed to identify yourself as a Christian. And the base here is going to be energized in how President Bush is going to do it, because the base is not as energized as apparently has been in the past, is to make an issue of not allowing gay marriage. So a wedge issue, pandering to the Christian right. And here is a pilot. I think this is so inappropriate. But this is what happens when you have fanatics who believe that they know the one and only way to Rome. There are lots of roads to Rome, and Christianity is one of them. Judaism is another. Buddhism is another. Islam is another. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Anne from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Ann.
I'd like to say that in defense of Joyce Lawrence, that she and Senator Gigi Dennis about 5-6 years ago tried to put a bill through for Colorado legislature to give money to the beautiful memorial to women veterans at Arlington. And they fought very hard for it. Colorado is one of only two states whose legislatures have failed to give money to this beautiful memorial. It honors all women who've served since 1776. And I, in defense of her, at the time when we were trying to get it put through, the professional veteran Kaufman, who is now our state treasurer, said to me, to my face, why do we need a memorial to women?
So you're saying that Joyce Lawrence supported the memorial to women?
She and Senator Gigi Dennis tried and tried.
And they were unable to?
They were unable to get it through the legislature.
But it sounds right now like she's being very unsupportive to women.
Well, I don't think she said anything other than what you said. Women have to watch out when they go and get drunk. What do they expect to happen to them?
Well, it sounds like she's prejudging in advance, and it also sounds when she defends her Republican cohort, Dan Corsentino, saying, you know, apparently there were several women accused him of sexual misconduct, and she noted that most of the accusers talked about alleged incidents that reportedly happened years ago, and remarked that she believes that women subjected to sexual misconduct usually report it much sooner. And so, in other words, she's dissing them in advance of any investigation of the facts, Anne.
I'm not too familiar with that, but may I also say that as a veteran, I am absolutely thrilled that the AWOL Bush has come out. They tried to bring it out when he ran for governor of Texas, and no one would pay any attention to it. But there are websites that have the absolute fact. And Daddy was in Congress at the time, so of course it would be easy to get an honorable discharge.
And what are you? Where were you? Where did you serve? You're a veteran of.
I'm a veteran of the Air Force.
And when did
20 years.
20 years. I thank you for calling, and thanks.
May I say one more thing?
Quickly,
the
please.
The lady who said that they'd offered $1,000, it's $10,000. And it's been 6 years being offered to anyone who saw him during his time with the Alabama National Guard.
And nobody's collected so far.
It's right on the website.
Thank you very much for the call, and I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
So you've tried every diet out there. Well, that's something considering there's over 17,000 diets on the market to choose from. Low-carb diets, low-fat diets, high-protein diets. If you're one of the 127 million overweight Americans, you've probably tried one or all of these diets, but without lasting success. That's where Monarch Health Sciences can get you fit for life with a new and complete solution to overall health. The Monarch Forever Fit program is based on solid science in the fields of nutrition, exercise, physiology, and psychology. No magic pills here. The program was created by some of the world's leading experts in weight management, world-renowned doctors, Olympic athletes, exercise physiologists, and psychologists. Join this winning team. Call now, 720-981-4622. Whether it's to lose weight or become part of the Monarch Health Sciences business, call 720-981-4622 for your free Forever Fit information kit. That number again is 720-981-4622 or www.monarchhs.com/foreverfit.
I know you're sitting in your car listening to this. People are dying because I can't catch you. I know you're going to kill again. You're piecing it together. But so am I. I know who your next victim is. I know how you're going to kill her.
One man must connect with the mind of a serial killer before it's too late. Watch Wire in the Blood, television's most shocking crime thriller. Tonight at 9 Eastern and Pacific, only on BBC America.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. The Hudson Gardens and Events Center welcomes Denver Post sports columnist Woody Page in the continuing winter lecture series on Sunday, February 15th at 7 p.m. During his 35-year career, Page has covered sporting events in 22 countries with 27 Super Bowls, 12 Summer and Winter Olympics, and over 18 World Championship fights. Tickets to see Woody Page Sunday, Feb 15 are only $6 and are available online at hudsongardens.org.
Let's say you owe $3,000 in taxes. Wouldn't you like to get 3,000 airline miles for paying them? Now you can. Just charge your income taxes on a credit card. For a small convenience fee, you may earn a point, mile, or money back for every eligible tax dollar you charge. It's fast, secure, and authorized by the IRS. Just call Official Payments Corporation at 1-800-2-PAY-TAX or visit us online at officialpayments.com. Official Payments accepts MasterCard, Visa, American Express, and Discover payment cards. Check with your card company for rewards eligibility.
We call it drive talking, and you don't have to do anything crazy like break out the gold chains and the polyester leisure suits. All you have to do is go to our website, knrcradio.com. Look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things in life that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the drive talking coffee mug will be yours. Just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. Online, we're at knrcradio.com.
AM 1150 KNRC.
The question being asked about Iraq in the starkest terms is, were we right or were we wrong? In the intelligence business, you are almost never completely wrong or completely right. That applies in full to the question of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on a Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I think I'm going to sign up for a job in the intelligence community where you're never sure if you're really right or if you're never sure if you're really wrong. This sounds like a job for me and for the rest of us. So let's not do anything. Let's not predicate anything on the basis of intelligence, which may never be really right and may never be really wrong. Oh, I love the tabs this week. First of all, they have all this juicy stuff. Martha. The trial is underway, and her very experienced attorney is really going at Mr. Faneuil, the government's chief witness. But here's what the tabs are reporting about Martha, that she's drinking, crying, and binge eating. And if you notice, when she gets out of the car, when she comes to court every morning, she's always wearing a really big coat. Well, apparently she's really pecked on the pork, and she's really gotten to be, you know, Omar the tent maker is making her her garments, and so her friends are worried about her, that she's ballooned up, and she goes to a salon every morning to get a comb out and get her makeup done, and then they have these before and after shots that are sort of fairly grisly on the before. And John Kerry's secret life is exposed, that he had affairs with stars. This is while he was single. That there was drug abuse. Well, he admitted to smoking marijuana, I guess, when he was in Vietnam, which everybody, I guess, was smoking marijuana or injecting heroin or doing something horrible. And plastic surgery, which he said he had for his jaw, but they're saying because it helped his bite. But there were several explanations as to why he had the plastic surgery. So that's what the tabs are full of today. And what do you think about this pilot who asked, here you are, a captive audience on a flight. And here's a pilot who's just come from apparently a retreat of some sort. So he's all fired up with the word of the Lord. And he wants to know how many people on the flight are Christians, and he wants them to identify themselves. And those who aren't Christians should talk to the Christians to find out the right road to take in life. What sort of arrogance? Would you want to call this a spiritual arrogance? You know, thank goodness you find your own way in life. You find the spirituality that works for you. But there are many forms of spirituality, and there are many kinds of religions. And for a pilot to do that is so egregious. What is the appropriate punishment for this pilot? What is the right way? Send him some Mormon missionaries? Is that what Joe is saying? Our Mormon producer? Is that it? Okay. Well, what is the appropriate? Would this make you think twice about flying American? How American is asking what your religion is, and those who aren't of the dominant religion, they need to be proselytized on a flight? This is from New York to Los Angeles, a fairly cosmopolitan, you can expect a fairly cosmopolitan clientele. Just thought I'd ask. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Kenneth Wright. He's written a book called Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. I am really intrigued to know about that. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid coming up right here.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 37 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Regional Transportation District. Joseph Dowler could wind up in prison for 100 years. He's being sentenced today in a Boulder courtroom in connection with the child abuse death of his son Tanner in October of 2002. The two-month-old died after suffering several broken bones, burns, and a brain injury. The baby's mother, Audra Dowler, is already serving a 10-year sentence for negligence. Joseph Dowler was convicted on 8 counts of felony child abuse in November. CDOT has started a project to ease the traffic near Invesco Field on days when events like Broncos games are scheduled at the field. Here's spokeswoman Mindy Crane.
We will have a collector distributor road available, which will kind of ease traffic and get people moving along that whole stretch between 17th Avenue and 23rd Avenue. So you're going to have the less crossover movement and just a greater flow of traffic.
CDOT will put up a retaining wall along southbound I-25 between 17th and 23rd Avenues. The project will continue until March of 2005. Fans of the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche will have a new television network to watch the games next fall. Kroenke Sports Enterprises announced today that the company will launch a new regional sports network. The new network's president, Jim Martin, says his people will try to work things out so that your TV access to the Avs and Nuggets will remain the same.
Distribution requires reaching agreements with both cable operators and satellite providers. We believe that we can offer them a more than competitive package, particularly in pricing.
The network will carry other local teams such as Denver's lacrosse and arena football teams, plus some entertainment programming from Denver area theatrical venues owned by Kroenke. Jefferson County District Attorney Dave Thomas has announced that he plans to challenge Republican Bob Beaupre for his seat in Congress. Beaupre is a first-term incumbent in the U.S. House of Representatives. Thomas is a Democrat and is wrapping up his third term as the DA in Jefferson County. Two new polls suggest that Senator John Kerry will have two more wins under his belt after tomorrow's Democratic presidential primaries in Virginia and Tennessee. A Virginian pilot survey found that 34% of Democrats asked said they plan to vote for the senator from Massachusetts. Senator John Edwards was Kerry's closest competitor, getting 24% of the nod. In Reuters' MSNBC Zogby poll of Tennessee voters, Kerry is enjoying a double-digit lead over all his rivals. Meantime, several African-American leaders are challenging the results of Saturday's caucus in Michigan. They contend several sites were either switched at the last minute or listed incorrectly. Kerry won that contest, along with caucuses in Maine and Washington State. President Bush contends the U.S. economy is getting better, and his aggressive tax cuts have helped pave the way for economic recovery. In Springfield, Missouri today, Bush warned people about buying into what he called rhetoric surrounding his tax cut package. He said those who want to repeal tax cuts just want to, quote, raise your taxes. Both sides in the Scott Peterson double murder case will be back in court on Wednesday, arguing a pretrial motion. Reporter Joel Kamischer says that defense attorneys are expected to ask the judge to throw out evidence that police collected when they placed a global positioning satellite system on Peterson's truck.
The police put that on his car without Peterson's knowledge so they could keep tabs on him before he was arrested. The defense says that it's unconstitutional and it's an invasion of privacy, and they're hoping that the judge will not allow any of that evidence to be presented to the jury during the trial.
The GPS system was installed on his truck before he was arrested and without his knowledge so police could track Peterson's movements. Peterson is accused of murder his wife and unborn child in December of 2002. General Motors is recalling nearly 600,000 Chevy Trailblazers, GMC Envoys, and Oldsmobile Bravadas. The SUVs in question are model years 2002 and 2003. Officials say there have been two reports of crashes linked to short-circuiting electronics, but neither injuries nor deaths were associated with those crashes. Just before the close of today's trading session, the major indices were all lower on Wall Street. The Dow down more than 15 points, the Nasdaq down a point, the S&P 500 is down 3. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at the Pepsi Center. Grizzlies beat the Nuggets when they last met in January. Nuggets have dropped their last two games. The All-Star break continues for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. They'll be back on the ice at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the New York Islanders. The Avs' Joe Sakic won the Most Valuable Player award in yesterday's All-Star game. In college basketball tonight, the CSU Rams head to Colorado Springs to play the Air Force Falcons. Want to spend less time at the pump? Spend more time with RTD, North America's number one public transit agency. Call 303-299-6000 for route and schedule information. RTD, drive less, save more. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Hi, this is Brenda Francis from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, and today I'm here to talk to you about not wine, but beer. We at Golden Triangle have been working really hard to bring you some of the best microbrews we could find. Recently, we brought in beers from Snake River. We brought in some Le Fin du Monde. We brought in a bunch of different beers from the Left Hand Brewery, Twisted Pine, Avery, and even some beers from Stone Brewing. Do you like hoppy beers, IPAs, extra special bitters? How about porters, stouts? Do you like wheat beers? Golden Triangle has a wonderful selection of microbrews. We at Golden Triangle know there are a lot of microbrew drinkers out there, and we're doing everything that we can to bring you the best selection of microbrews so that Golden Triangle will always be an exciting place to shop. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter where we not only talk about our favorite wines of the week, but we also feature some of our favorite microbrews. www.goldentrianglewines.com. Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits. We're at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the network of 17 John Elway Auto Nation showrooms. Southbound I-25 approaching Downing is a real mess right now. Have an accident on the left shoulder. And another problem a little bit further along on the right shoulder. Really taking traffic for a loop there. It's really backed up, so watch for that. It's going to be heading back right past Alameda here in just a few minutes. At all John Elway showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest, I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Steneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. A gorgeous winter afternoon, bright sunshine. That'll get us up to a high near 40. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, a low down to 12, and not a bad day on Tuesday. Partly cloudy with a high of 38. Snow's going to move in Tuesday night. That'll lead to a snowy day on Wednesday, a colder day, too. Wednesday's high only 26. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenderford on AM 1150, KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 37 degrees. KNRC news time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
The Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And with me in studio is Kenneth Wright. He is local. He has written a wonderful book called Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. You can meet him tomorrow night, Tattered Cover Lodo, at 7:30. Ken, thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here, Enid.
How did you get interested in the Anasazi? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, background is that I'm a civil engineer from University of Wisconsin, been in Colorado for 45 years or so, and I've got a firm called Wright Water Engineers, and the work that we do is in water resources and hydrology, so it was a natural fit to study the hydrology and engineering of the Anasazi.
How did you get interested in it? Were you just there and you thought, my goodness, this is something that, here's what I do for a living, and how did they manage to do the things that I do for a living?
That's partially right. It really started in Peru at Machu Picchu. I'd started working in Peru with personnel from Wright Water Engineers in 1994.
Why were you working in Peru? And you have a beautiful calendar. It's called Machu Picchu 2004 Scenic Calendar.
Well,
gorgeous.
Thank you.
And your wife has taken the photos for the calendar.
That's right.
I really would like to go there someday. Now, why were you there? Were you engaged by somebody to do some work?
No, that was pro bono research on the part of our company. And the idea for going to Machu Picchu was in answer to a question my wife asked in 1974 when she came back from a trip. She said, Ken, I've been to the most wonderful place in the world, Machu Picchu, and I've got one question. I said, what's that? She said, how could they ever have gotten a water supply on top of a mountain? And I said, we'll find out.
Oh, all right. So let's start at Machu Picchu. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with Machu Picchu, where is it? What is it?
Yeah, Machu Picchu is a royal estate of the Emperor Pachacuti. It was started in A.D. 1450 and was abandoned after the conquistadors came to conquered Peru. It's located 13 degrees south of the equator, high up in the Andes Mountains, in a tributary to the Amazon River.
How high?
8,000 feet, about the same as
Aspen?
Aspen, about 8 or 9,000. Mm-hmm.
So it's about 8,000 feet. It looks like it's perched on the very top level. Who lived there?
About 300 Inca lived there, and they were the retainers for the emperor. And then when the emperor would arrive during the winter, then the population would rise to about 1,000 people.
Where was the emperor living when this was his winter estate?
That's right, his royal estate. And normally he was in Cusco, the capital of the Inca Empire.
Why did he come there in the winter? Was it warmer at that elevation? You think he'd come there in the summer?
It would be warmer. So you see, Cusco is 11,000 feet high, same as Leadville.
Oh.
And so during the cooler weather, the emperor would come to Machu Picchu because it was warmer, and it was in a location that was inspirational with the mountains and the river.
How many thousand years ago was it?
Well, it wasn't very long ago. Was it 500 years ago, roughly.
500 years ago,
yes.
Okay. So
they started Machu Picchu just about 50 years before Columbus sailed for America.
So here's Machu Picchu. These are the Incas. You go there, and how did they get the water? How did they manage to get the water up 8,000 feet? Where was the nearest water supply?
Well, the river is 1,600 feet down below, but the Inca were very good hydrologists and groundwater engineers. What they did was to develop a water supply from a natural spring on the north slope of Machu Picchu Mountain.
Okay.
And then they, after developing the spring and building a structure for collecting the water, they built a half-mile-long canal, which carried the water at just the right grade into a location where they established fountain number one, and then next to fountain number one, they built the emperor's residence so that he could use the water first. It's a marvelous place.
Oh.
And everybody should go there at least once in his or her lifetime.
Is it tough to get up? Now, how did the emperor do it? Because now there's a rickety train, isn't there, that takes you up to the top of Machu Picchu. But how did the emperor and his entourage do it 500 years ago?
Well, it was an eight-day walk. And the emperor would be carried by his servants in a chair. And they would do about 10 kilometers a day. And each time he would stop at night, they built a little city to support him.
For every stop?
Every stop.
So he had little hotels along the way.
That's right, complete with people living there and growing food. So when he arrived at a particular way station, he was in true comfort.
That's remarkable. My guest is Kenneth Wright. He's a water engineer, and his new book, Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. So now you go to Machu Picchu, and you know, and are you the one who figured out how they did it, or had other anthropologists and so on figured out how the water system worked in Machu Picchu?
Remember that Machu Picchu was rediscovered by Hiram Bingham in 1911, and then he went back in 1912 to study it in detail with a grant from the National Geographic Society and support from Yale. And what they mostly did was study the architecture and the layout, and no one really paid much attention to the water supply or the urban drainage or the city planning or the structural aspects of the buildings as to why they could have stood for 500 years in such heavy rain in such an inclement environment.
And you're the one who came looking for those answers?
That's right.
And how did those structures withstand the inclement weather?
They withstood the inclement weather with rainfall of nearly 80 inches a year because the Inca engineers used tender, loving care in their building. They built with a great deal of care. They built for perpetuity. And what they did was to put about 60% of their overall effort in foundations and site preparation. So we have a lot to learn from the Inca in terms of how they built.
What'd they do for sewage?
They would spread the sewage out on the land for...
So there was no system that carried it away?
No, there was an awfully good drainage system for storm runoff, but not for sewage. Any good ancient civilization would spread the wastes onto the land for fertilizers.
Okay, now you do this, and you did this in what year, Machu Picchu?
I started in 1994 and am still working there, so I'm in my 11th year.
How often do you go?
Oh, anywhere from once to three times a year.
Really?
Yes.
And tell me, where do you fly? How do you do it from Denver?
Well, it's an easy trip from Denver. Leave Denver, and 18 hours later, one is in Cusco, and you go via Miami.
So you go Denver-Miami.
Denver-Miami, then Miami to Lima.
Miami-Lima.
And then there's a short layover in Lima with a plane into Cusco. So 18 hours after leaving DIA, you're in happy and pleasant Cusco.
And then how do you get to Machu Picchu?
Oh, that's a four-hour narrow-gauge railroad trip to a place called Aguas Calientes. Uh-huh. And then from there, you can stay overnight at Aguas Calientes. And from there, it's about a 20-minute jitney bus ride up the mountain to Machu Picchu. It's in style. Anybody can do it.
Anybody can do this. And then where do you stay in Machu Picchu? Or do you come back down to Agua Calientes?
Yes. I come down every evening. There's a hotel right at the site. However, it's very expensive and it's hard to get into because it's generally booked. So I generally stay in Aguas Calientes.
All right. Now, you start this in 1994 and you're still doing it. And then at what point do you become interested in the Anasazi and Mesa Verde?
Well, that's an interesting question, Enid. What happened was that in 1995, I was invited to give a lecture to the Archaeological Society in Durango. And as part of my payment for giving the lecture, they arranged a tour with some archaeological rangers at Mesa Verde. And the Mesa Verde people knew what I'd been doing at Machu Picchu, so they took me to three likely water sites in Mesa Verde, and then suggested that I might have an interest in studying it. And then when I didn't respond too quickly, they called me and said, aren't you going to apply for a permit, Mr. Wright? And I said, well, yes, as soon as they get the paperwork done. Well, they helped me with the paperwork, and I started right out in the fall of 1995 at Mesa Verde.
I remember my first trip to Mesa Verde, and since that time, it may have been my only trip. I might have gone twice, but it stayed in my mind because I had grown up in the Midwest, in Michigan. So to see structures like this, I think I really didn't know that places like Mesa Verde existed, and it sort of began my love affair with the West, and eventually I lived for a long time in San Francisco. And for a time, I ran away and lived with the Hopi Indians and was taken in by an old Hopi woman on Walpi. And there were places there that were considered sacred, and white people weren't supposed to get anywhere near those places. And I know that the Navajo have a tradition of where their ancients are buried, you don't want to go near those places because that's a cultural tradition they have. So I don't know how that affects anthropologists. But I remember being in, what's the canyon? I'll think of it.
Havasupai?
Well, I've been in Havasupai, and there's also Canyon de Chelly.
Oh, yes.
Canyon de Chelly. So you can see where people lived. And I really never knew that. I guess geography skipped over that part when I was in school. So I have always been fascinated by the Anasazi. Who were they, for example? Do we know really very much about them, and what became of them? And why did they leave Mesa Verde, for example, and why did they settle there in the first place?
Well, that's a tough question to ask because the archaeologists and anthropologists are still arguing over where they came from and where they went. But let me say the best available information right now is that there were hunters and gatherers in Mesa Verde for thousands of years. And then in about 500 A.D., the basket maker three period started, and that's when they settled down. And then there was, after basket maker three period, we go through Pueblo I, Pueblo II period, and then finally to Pueblo III, which is the Cliff House period. Then in about 1250, a few people began moving away, and it was complete. The movement was complete by 1300 A.D., and one of the places they went was to the Hopi location, and they also went down to the pueblos along the, the Santa Fe area, Taos, and along the Rio Grande.
We don't know why. What caused them to go?
Well, the best thinking is that they were both pushed and pulled. They were pushed by drought and environmental problems. And then they were pulled because of people are thinking, scientists are thinking that it was a pulling for religious reasons. But we do know they settled in many, many different places, and they left Mesa Verde both in family groups and whole villages over a period of time.
All right, so the cliff houses, they've been in the area for thousands of years, but the cliff houses didn't happen until about 1200?
That's... let's say maybe 1100.
1100. Now, I was just in Italy, in Venice, and the basilicas, the churches got started, Venice actually got started on an island called Torcello in about 500. So there's a beautiful church, I mean, really quite elegant, that I'm sure has been restored many times, but that's 500. So this looks pretty primitive when you think that this was 1100, 1200. Chartres, the cathedrals in Europe, they were getting started at that time, around that time, I think, possibly earlier.
Yeah, one could say that. I look at the cliff houses and think of them as being marvels of early American ingenuity and construction.
Talk about that, because here you are, a water engineer. My guest, Kenneth Wright, his book, Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. How did they do it?
Well, they did it with know-how that they gained over the years. For instance, it was in 750 that they began the first reservoir that I studied, which is Moorefield Reservoir, which is the in the book it's the first reservoir described in the book. And Moorefield Reservoir lasted from 750 A.D. to 1100 A.D. And the marvelous thing about Moorefield Reservoir, Enid, is that here we have... a very primitive people without writing, without iron or steel. They didn't even have copper or bronze. And they were able to maintain a reservoir under very difficult conditions. And it tells us that they had enough organizational ability and authority so that they could direct people to work on this reservoir generation after generation for 350 years. It's really a miracle that they could have done work like that on a continuous basis for so very, very long.
So there was a lot of skill, there was a lot of organization, they couldn't read or write. Do they leave any kind of hieroglyphics behind?
None whatsoever, but they tell us a great story in their stones, in their buildings, and for me, the reservoirs. When we excavate the reservoirs and cut through the sediments going back 12 and 1300 years, it's like seeing their fingerprints and handiwork in every layer.
What do you see?
We see pottery from top to bottom. Let's say a 20-foot deep reservoir that's been excavated, all filled with sediment.
Right.
And then a Pueblo III pottery perhaps on top of the reservoir. And then digging in a little bit, you find the Pueblo II pottery, and the experts are able to identify the age. And then maybe we come across something that we carbon date.
Mm-hmm.
And carbon dating that we did at Moorfield showed that that particular deer antler that the Anasazi used for excavating was dated from AD 860. And then we keep going on down, and finally we find a Pueblo I pottery. And that tells us a long, long story of 300 years. Along with that, we see evidence of forest fires. We can, the carbon layers, we counted some 14 forest fires that occurred during the life of the reservoir, and 21 flood events that deposited sand into the reservoir. One place in the excavation, we found a sand layer, and there were ripples on the sand layer, and we could conclude that on that particular day, back in maybe 800 AD, the wind was blowing from the southwest.
That's really remarkable. Isn't it funny that lives, all kinds of things can be revealed given enough time and given enough skill? What has been the most surprising aspect of this work for you? You begin your professional life as a water engineer, and then you find out, did you have any inkling, had you had any interest in archaeological pursuits at all, of trying to solve the mysteries of, say, Machu Picchu or the Anasazi at Mesa Verde?
No, the interest is in the water engineering and the public works aspects of these ancient people. And what I do is leave the archaeology to the archaeologists, and we consult with them, and they make sure that we keep our engineering findings in the proper scientific framework. In fact, on our teams that we use for the projects in Mesa Verde as well as Machu Picchu, we hook in with the best archaeologists that we can find. For instance, for Mesa Verde, we brought in Dr. Jack Smith, who is the former chief archaeologist for the park for some 13 years, a former professor at the University of Colorado.
But did you have any inkling that you'd be involved in projects like this?
Oh, no, no.
I mean, this is sort of
happening. We just grew into it.
But you're sort of a detective in a way, aren't you?
It all is detective work. And for us, what we find particularly satisfying is seeing the handiwork of these ancient people and to find out how really talented and hardworking they were.
I was just going to ask you about that. So we found out, looking at what they have accomplished, that they had good organizational skills, that there was authority, that they were able to keep it going over three centuries. What other things have revealed themselves about these curious people that we know so little about?
One of the really important things is their ability for technology transfer. What we found was that we studied a total of four reservoirs, two in the valley bottom, and two on Mesa Tops. And what we did was see technical similarities between each reservoir. And that told us a lot. It told us that these people, these very early people, Native Americans, had been able to transfer ideas and technology from valley to valley and from valley to Mesa Top. Because we would find stepping stones and shapes and sizes and a lot of similarity in the construction of these reservoirs.
What's the most surprising part of the work for you?
The most surprising what?
Part of this work for you.
The most surprising part of the work is to find that these people, whom we normally think of as very primitive, are running around with loincloths and people for whom we give little credit, were actually very talented and hardworking people.
My guest, Kenneth Wright, his book, Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. You can meet him tomorrow night at Tattered Cover Lodo at 7:30. Kenneth, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for the fine work you've done.
Well, Enid, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio. AM 1150 KNRC.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house, that's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. If you listen to AM 1150 KNRC at work, let us know, and you'll get a goodie package, including a KNRC t-shirt. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and sign up. You listen to us on your way to work, and you listen to us on your way home. Why not get something free for listening at work? We like free, and it's a way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. Our web address, knrcradio.com.
AM 1150 KNRC. NRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:29 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Wasn't that, I really am so interested in the Anasazi and places like Machu Picchu. And I wanted to mention that he brought in a fabulous calendar on Machu Picchu. Ken Wright did, that his wife did the photos. We mentioned it briefly, and I don't know where it's available for sale, but I suspect that they have it at the Tattered Cover, and if not, he also told me about the Museum of Nature and Science. They have a Machu Picchu, and he says it's really big. It's a big deal, and it comes from Yale, and the exhibit will start on Friday. So I imagine that you'll be able to get the Machu Picchu calendar there at the Museum of Nature and Science. So put it on your calendar. This coming Friday, the exhibit begins, and the pictures are really glorious. It's a gorgeous calendar, and I've always been fascinated by these odd places, Machu Picchu. Like, how could people find their way to these, just to these odd location, tops of mountains, and here they are, people that we consider primitive. And then they construct these really sophisticated kinds of structures. And there's one, actually, I was in the jungles once of around Cozumel, Chichen Itza. And it was quite a while ago that I was there, but the way the buildings were constructed, depending on where the sun was in the sky, you would see the picture of what, maybe Quetzalcoatl or something like that. So you could tell when it was the equinox. It was constructed to show the full picture of the god on the equinoxes. So it was a very sophisticated system that they had. And if you think about the pyramids, too, nobody knows. How were those huge blocks brought in? How was it all constructed? How was it done? But as our detective techniques get more sophisticated, it's so fascinating to me that eventually the mysteries begin to unravel. And I'm thinking about the analogies here. People in prison for their lives, some of them sitting on death row. Now that we have DNA testing, you can go back to a crime scene of 20 years ago, some of the evidence, and test it and find out was somebody guilty, somebody not. And I'm also thinking about politics today, where they lied about going to war, but it's all, you know, eventually we find out the truth. Sometimes it takes decades and centuries. Sometimes we find it out in a year or two. But I think the truth always always comes to the fore. 303-382-1150. Stephen, calling from Teller County. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Great interview, wonderful caller. I just wish I could be up there at the cover.
Oh, well. And what have you had an interest in the Anasazi and water?
Well, absolutely. I lived for about 20 years down on the north rim of the Grand Canyon amongst the Anasazi ruins down there.
On the north rim, are you talking around where the Havasupai are?
Well, actually, this was in far southern Utah, right on the Arizona-Utah border.
Okay.
And in any regard, water is crucial. Can I have 20 seconds to tell you about water?
Yeah, tell me quickly.
Okay. The end of the world. The old people used to tell us that when the end of the world is coming, all the water will begin to dry up. For a long time, there will be no rain. There will be only a few places, about three places, where there will be springs. At those three places, the water will be dammed up, and all the people will come into those places and start fighting over the water. That's what old Nanny used to tell us. Those old Indians found out somehow. I don't know how. The way it looks, I believe it is the truth. Many old Chiricahua used to say the same story. They said that in this way, most of the people will kill each other off. Maybe there will be a few good people left. When the new world comes after that, the white people will be Indians, and the Indians will be white people.
What do you think about the drought situation? Are you saying that the end is near?
Of course.
You think
but
so?
The end is at the beginning.
The end is the beginning.
Yeah.
Stephen, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Well, you may wish to comment. Is the end near? I don't know. Okay, we've been talking about a lot of things today. We've been talking about the airline pilot who was a born-again Christian who wanted to know how many Christians were on the flight. This was a flight from L.A. to New York. So this is, you got to imagine that there's a fairly sophisticated clientele on this flight, a fairly sophisticated passenger list, and it's an American Airlines flight. And you tell me how inappropriate that is. I think one of the brilliant, why we have succeeded as a country is we let all religions flourish, not some. That's why we don't have religious wars, or we haven't anyway, very much. We have said this is a country where we're not going to have a state religion, but some people are trying to concoct a state religion that they have found a way, and so they believe everybody else should be on that same road. There are a lot of roads to Rome. Meanwhile, senior Pentagon managers, the president, let me backtrack. There was an interview with Laura Bush late last week, I think, or over the weekend. She says it's not true that the president doesn't read newspapers. He says he doesn't read the papers. He only reads his briefings. He only reads his briefs. He's only reading his underpants. But she says it's not true that, in fact, they get the newspapers in the morning and they go through five or so national papers in the mornings and have done for years. Anyway, senior Pentagon managers have repeatedly ordered the department's widely read clipping service to exclude articles critical of the military and defense secretary, Don Rumsfeld. This is according to officials familiar with the practice. This is being reported by the Washington Post. They have a clip service at the Pentagon, but they're not going to make available anything that's critical of of the Pentagon, or particularly anything that's critical of Don Rumsfeld. Staffers at the Early Bird, whose service is devoured by Pentagon brass, lawmakers, journalists, and military personnel around the world, were told to eliminate all news magazine articles last October. That would be Newsweek, that would be Time, etc. 4 days after the publication of a Newsweek cover story on Iraq that included, quote, Rummy's new headaches, quote, and a Time piece titled, Is Rumsfeld Losing His Mojo? It comes down to the fact that they don't like these magazine articles, said a Pentagon official who declined to be identified and believes that the Early Bird clip service should not censor what is reported by major news organizations. The argument made against the offending articles, the official said, is that they are dated or inaccurate. Is that ever BS or what? If you are running the Pentagon and there's a lot of negative press about you, don't you think you should know about it in order to make an adequate defense of yourself? I mean, for that reason, if for no other, you may not like reading it, but don't you think as part of your job you should know what the criticism out there is of you? Doesn't that make some sort of sense, or is that too logical? 303-382-1150. The Pentagon does not want any clips in the from the clip service that are negative or critical. I mean, what do you think about that? 303. You know what? You've got a you have faith-based intelligence. You have people calling in who have called this show. You heard them today. They just have faith in President Bush. The pilot on the American Airlines flight who wants to know who's a Christian and who isn't, who has faith that everybody will convert to his religion. I mean, what happened to science? What happened to having the facts? What happened to a critical intelligence? What happens to our intelligence service, which apparently is as dumbed down as the rest of our culture, as the rest of what the society has become? Intelligence service as dumbed down as the rest of American culture. It's a sad story. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 37 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Sentencing is underway in Boulder today for Joseph Dowler, who was convicted in November of the child abuse death of his two-month-old son, Tanner. Dowler could get up to 100 years in prison. The infant's mother is already serving 10 years for negligence. The court today has heard from her parents, who are asking for the maximum penalty for Joseph Dowler, while Joseph Dowler's parents have asked the court for leniency. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office is continuing its investigation of yesterday's pit bull attack in Highlands Ranch. A 53-year-old woman was attacked by two pit bulls and received minor injuries. Deputies arriving on the scene shot and killed both of the attacking dogs. Police have arrested three youths and an 18-year-old in connection with a break-in at Stanley Lake High School over the weekend. They say the four males, ages 11 to 18 years old, were trying to steal computer equipment from the school. The four face charges of burglary, theft, and criminal mischief. In sports, the Denver Nuggets have a home game tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. Nuggets lost to the Grizzlies in Memphis in January. Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off the tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Bring your family to Cowboy Jamboree, a Colorado Symphony Orchestra Western fun-filled family event on February 15th at 2:30 p.m. Cowboy Jamboree is $15 for adults, just $7.50 for children. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by James Hardy Building. Really ugly problem in the Narrows is causing some major backups. Southbound I-25 approaching Downing had an accident with injuries, it sounds like. Left lane, then further along we had another car. That's on the right side, but that's really tying up traffic now all the way back into the Central Valley and rapidly heading back towards I-70. So if you're heading southbound on I-25, that's what you're going to get until you hit the Narrows where it frees up. James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com. To learn more, that's JamesHardie.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Mike Stenneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. A gorgeous winter afternoon, bright sunshine. That'll get us up to a high near 40. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, a low down to 12, and not a bad day on Tuesday. Partly cloudy with a high of 38. Snow's going to move in Tuesday night. That'll lead to a snowy day on Wednesday, a colder day, too. Wednesday's high only 26. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenneford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 37 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you tired of high monthly house payments? Are you ready to take advantage of interest rates as low as 3.25%? Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package that is custom tailored to your needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Get the best rate available at the best price possible. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and Western State Mortgage will donate $250 to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive. So start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit the website at www.westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. That number is 303-754-4911. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages gave back some of Friday's gains after an up-and-down day. One analyst tells MarketWatch.com he expects this as earnings season winds down and investors change their focus to economic reports. The Dow Industrials fell 14 points to 10,579. The Nasdaq lost 3 points to 2061. The S&P 500 slid 3 points to 1140. Big board volume was about 1.3 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a 9-7 margin. Coca-Cola was the Dow's bright spot, rising almost 3%. Goldman Sachs analysts had some positive comments on Coke 2 days before the company releases its quarterly profit report. Juniper Networks, the day's busiest stock, and it sank 11%. The network gear maker plans to buy NetScreen Technologies in a roughly $4 billion stock deal. NetScreen jumped 36% on the news. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:43 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and we have a set of tickets, a pair of tickets to give away. This is for the Art Garfunkel concert. He's going to be performing Feb 19, which I guess is a week from this Thursday, 7:30 p.m., Betcher Concert Hall, which is right here downtown. And we have already given away one pair of tickets. We're going to be giving away tickets tomorrow and the next day and Thursday. So all the way till Thursday, you be the fourth caller, 303-382-1150. Be the fourth caller, 303-382-1150. And you will win a pair of tickets to Art Garfunkel. They're worth $80. I can't tell if we have a winner. Yep, I think we got a winner. All right, there we go. Worth $80. You just have to be available for February the 19th at 7:30 p.m. And if you did not win today, you still have chances to win tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're going to be giving away tickets. So I would love to go to this myself. And again, if you miss Ken Wright, he's written a really interesting book called Water for the Anasazi, How the Ancients of Mesa Verde Engineered Public Works. And that's going to be tomorrow night. You can meet him at Tattered Cover Lodo at 7:30. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Joanne Harris, who's the author of the international bestseller. It was turned into a movie, Chocolat. It was nominated for an Academy Award 5 times. She has a brand new book called Holy Fools. Wednesday, tentatively, Ron Suskind. Ron Suskind is the author of The Price of Loyalty. This is an expose of what Paul O'Neill has been able to determine when he was the Treasury Secretary in the Bush administration. It is a blockbuster of a book. Ron Suskind was a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and I'm really intrigued to have him on. He's tentatively scheduled for Wednesday. Thursday, we're joined by another Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, Timothy Egan, who writes for the New York Times, and his new book out. It's a novel called The Winemaker's Daughter. Friday, we're going to be live from the Denver Press Club, the Valentine's Day edition. The Valentine's Day is the next day. And Aaron from Parker won. Congratulations, Aaron. Won the tickets for Art Garfunkel the 19th at Betcher Concert Hall. So good work. $80 worth of tickets. We'll be giving more away tomorrow and the next day and Thursday. So just there are a lot of reasons to listen to Enid Live, and that's one of them. So we're talking about a lot of different things. We're talking about a possible John Kerry Edwards ticket. Bob Novak is saying they're pulling their punches with each other. So he thinks that it's going to be a Kerry Edwards ticket. What do you think about that? Then you have this airline pilot who has, on a flight from Los Angeles to New York, he wanted to know who were Christians And those who weren't were supposed to get with those who were and talk about it. Is that, you tell me. Then we've got an athlete who is writing his, kind of keeping a blog of his experiences being recruited because he was highly sought after. And he talked about how he was on private planes. He, you know, they'd usher him onto a plane and he wondered where everybody else was. Well, he was the only one on the plane. And there were parades and he was escorted by an entourage and he'd go into a restaurant where the lobster tail was $49. So he'd order a bunch of those and a bunch of steaks. So these athletes are surfed and turfed. And treated like royalty. And then you've got Joyce Lawrence, who's been going to be heading up, co-chair of this commission that Dr. Hoffman from CU has appointed to look into the recruiting practices. There have been sexual misconduct allegations, rape allegations, and so on. And she's already blaming the women. Well, it's true that women ought to be careful about drinking too much and being high on drugs when they go to these events because, you know, you leave yourself really vulnerable, but still, it sounds like she's blaming the victims in advance, and I don't think it sounds like a very politic thing to have said, and she's on the hot seat now. I'm thinking maybe she ought to be replaced and somebody else ought to be invited. The New York Times did a piece on invitations to weddings. It used to be when you got an engraved invitation to something very special, like a wedding, and there was a reception, and you have to respond because they don't know how many people to prepare the meal for. You know, the caterers have to have a number so that they can have an adequate amount of food, or if it's not being catered, if you're giving it, if it's a more down-home thing, you have to know how many people are going to come so that you know how many to provide a meal for. It turns out that nobody RSVPs anymore. You get invited to these wonderful events. Some people think they're too cool to reply. Other people want to wait and see if they get a better invitation for the date. And so hostesses everywhere, whether it's for something as sacred, even though the divorce rate is 50%, as a wedding, or some other large, grand event, people simply don't respond anymore the way they used to. And it's gotten to the point where planners of these events will take your response any way they can get it. Whether they have to start beating the bushes because nobody's responding, and so they start calling you or they start emailing you, and if you email in response, they'll take that, and that's fine, and etiquette has molded itself to tolerate the email response. But Letitia Baldridge, who used to be Jackie Kennedy's social secretary, she says, she calls the situation SS for social selfishness. She's heard countless stories of guests respond, and she's written all these etiquette books too, but at which I collect old etiquette books, if you're wondering why I'm talking about this, because you can tell a lot about how the world has changed. But she said people are really more selfish these days. She said she's heard countless stories of guests responding only at the last possible minute or ignoring the invitation altogether. Some people, she said, seem to think that responding to an invitation is somehow beneath them. It's complete arrogance, she said. There are those folks who feel that their attendance at a party will ensure the success of the party, and they don't feel that it's necessary to respond. Her advice is always respond to an invitation within 48 hours of receipt. Well, I don't know about 48 hours, but at least certainly in time to let the hostess know, because she's got to know how many people to prepare for. So whether it's a dinner party or whether it's a wedding or whether it's some fancy dance or some fancy party or an anniversary event or whatever it is, not to respond to it is so rude, but we don't really care anymore. I mean, I think the old rules have actually gone by the boards. Forget it about ever getting a thank you note from anybody. Once in a while, you get a thank you note. And I'm not a stickler from, you know, when people thank me, that's sufficient, and friends and stuff. But for a while, I was really on my nieces. I have two beautiful and brilliant nieces, and I really got to be very unpopular because I thought it was really good training for the nieces to learn how to send out thank you notes. And I was, for a time, I wasn't going to be sending out any gifts until I got thank you. You know, if I wasn't going to get the thank you note, I was thinking about not sending out a gift. Even though you don't send a gift to get the thank you note. But I remember making a quilt for somebody, a baby quilt for somebody who's probably old enough to vote by now. And I don't think I ever got a thank you note. And that was a handmade, I think it was a hand-knitted quilt. Handmade, or I either made the quilt or I either knitted it, and that's the only thing I know how to do, or I used to know how to do it, and I don't know how to do it anymore. I knitted a quilt or else I made it for a kid. And I never got a note. So, you know what? I think it matters. And I remember somebody saying about somebody else that so-and-so had beautiful manners. And I had not heard that phrase in about a zillion years. And I thought, you know what? That does matter. People make you feel good for inviting them to a party, even if they didn't have the greatest time in the world. I think that's a wonderful example of manners. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Sit very still.
Don't fidget while I talk to you.
You won't want to miss a word. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Larry King. They say you are what you eat. But what about what you drink? Well, if what you want is to be healthy, you might want to drink Welch's 100% grape juice made from Welch's own Concord grapes. After all, a small preliminary study by the American Heart Association found that Concord grape juice might help promote healthy wide arteries. And healthy arteries get more blood to your body when and where you need it. Welch's Purple Grape Juice. It's part of a healthy diet.
Gee, Scott, you finished your dinner so quickly.
I know. Let's hurry over to the sofa. Come on this way.
Trojan Man!
Hold your horses!
Huh?
Take it slow with extended pleasure latex condoms from Trojan. The only condom with a special climax control lubricant, so you can go the distance.
Clear the calendar.
My job is done here. Trojan Extended Pleasure Latex Condoms. Trojan, the most trusted for longer-lasting pleasure.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Bill Thorpe, and don't miss Gargoyles and Pinnacles Preserving National Treasures, an evening with the Washington National Cathedral Mason Foreman, Joe Alonzo. The event will be held Tuesday, February 10th at St. Thomas Episcopal Church, located at 2201 Dexter Street. One of the nation's preeminent stonemasons, he'll be presenting a lecture and a slideshow about how America's sacred places are being restored and preserved. For information and tickets, contact Historic Denver's Sacred Landmarks Preservation Program at 303-534-5288.
Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646.
Dominic and Bill.
No, you can buy an apartment for $300,000.
Yeah. So you got this big, nice
house. But the rats come with it.
They do.
If you're lucky, you pay extra for the gay rats.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice.
Great.
Plus, they don't reproduce.
Yes.
Then they start giving you advice on dressing these rats. But
and this guy.
They dress my pussycat. Yeah. It's called Queer Rat for the Straight Pussycat.
Dominic and Bill, weeknights from 6 to 9 on AM 1150 KNRC.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, we have been having some technical problems, and I guess we've been on the air and off the air. So we apologize. It sounds like I'm told that we have that the problems are solved. So thank you for calling in, those of you that have. If you're just tuning in.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Oh.
I thought he told me Ron. So,
It's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. You have bad times, and you have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, you'll forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. And if you love him, oh, be proud of him, 'cause after all, he's just a man. Are cold and long.